nappyafro.com.
If y'all ever do a story, real Hollywood story, hit me back, man. I got some more.
Oh, yeah. We can definitely do that because between you two motherfuckers, y'all got all the stories. For real.
Yeah, man. I don't have no Holly. Mine would be just like, you know, just random sightings. Like, I mean.
I had to tell you about the time I had an orgy with John Singleton and shit.
What?
Well,
that's for the next episode.
Was Tyra Banks there?
No, I don't think he was fucking with them.
God damn.
It was crazy.
It's alright. What?
Y'all have me back, man. I got some whoppers and shit.
Jesus Christ, that one right there. That might fuck around and put us on the map. Shit, that goddamn show. We might blow up. She wait on that shit.
Hey, you mind if we use this little part of the conversation for the pre-call?
I'm saying, it,
yeah.
It, you know what, Jeremy? Didn't even matter if he approved. This motherfucker was selected. That shit was selected. It didn't even matter if he liked this shit or not. It was going on, man. I was like,
yeah. Hey, man, why y'all put that at the beginning, man?
And record. Thank you very much, sir. That's a hell of a soundbite.
Boys in the hood for real.
Saying, God damn. This nigga said an orgy with John Singleton. Jeez.
I tell you, man, my life was wild when I first moved to California.
God.
The shit I did those 2 years. Woo.
Man. Who the fuck do you know to get into an orgy with John Singleton?
This your boy Thekka Jones, and you're tuning in to the Frocast on nappyafro.com. Click them links, man.
Hey yo, I don't even know you and I hate you.
Good people, it's episode 42 of the Frocast. I'm your man Saul Wright, aka Mr. Classic. We're doing it like Jackie Robinson. Pay homage to the man. And we're going to get into a lot of shit this week. But before we do, let me introduce you to the co-host of the show. You're familiar with this cat, the one that's always on the show, the MVP of the Frocast, King Germ. Say what's up, bro.
What's going on? This your boy, King Germ, a.k.a. the Hair Weave Killer.
I hate that, bro. And in addition to King Germ, we got a special guest for you this week. First time on the Frocast. One of the homies that we fuck with from that site. Say what's good to the people. Building Block. What's good, Block?
What's up, everybody? What's going on out there? Coming to you live and direct from California. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's sitting in with Building Block. It's Little Building Block. You might hear him make a couple comments on the show. So let's jump.
The light skin.
What'd you say? Light skin what?
The light skin wonder.
He already got a nickname. That's going to be a problem.
The golden chair. The golden
board.
The
goat. Wonder how I got to be so light.
That's a goddamn shame. We got a lot of shit on the thing. And before we get to the sports and all the coonery that is known for the Frocast, I want to talk about the domestic violence issues, which seem to never go away. I think Chris Brown fucked it up for everybody. But, you know, we've had the Chris Brown issue in the news with Rihanna. We got Joseph, you know, from Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, beat Stevie down in the counseling session. K. Michelle.
I don't see why y'all call Joseph, man. She's sort of fine to me, man. Pause.
Yeah, we're going to have to get to when we get to that section, nigga. You got to be kidding me. Never man. Trust a big button to smile, bro. That's the first rule of Fight Club.
Never trust some big shoulders and a smile. That girl
y'all
got
didn't see that World Star Hip Hop video, though, when she was naked and popping it and dropping it like
so
a
she hired a good surgeon.
Nigga, this ain't Brazil.
But she definitely ain't from America, so hey, you know, call it what you want. But what do y'all think about the you know, even with the Chad Johnson situation, who recently, we'll get into that when we get to sports. But what do y'all think about the domestic violence situation in our community specifically? Because that's the one that's always on the news. They don't talk about white folks whooping ass.
Oh, man. Go ahead. I'm going to defer to the guests, you know.
I'm going to say, man, he should have hit on the bottom of his feet if he was going
to
hit it.
Shout
all
out to Corey Holcomb. Corey Holcomb.
That's old Perry. I mean, you leave a mark, you got a lawsuit. Ain't nobody even to photograph the bottom of your feet and press charges and shit, you know.
Nah.
But I kid. I don't think a man should hit a woman, you know. I ain't no punchline.
You know? I thought he had someone going on that. I was like, all right, man.
Yeah, okay, I me personally, I mean, you know, I feel like domestic violence has been going on forever. I mean, not just it's a good thing, but I mean, everybody knew Auntie Dale was getting her ass whooped. You know, some people, you know, I mean, and not saying, I mean, I'm not justifying it, but it goes on. I mean, it's in everybody's community, and so it's just. And it's just, I don't know, it's bad. It's bad. But, I mean, I don't know, what can we do about it? It's all right. What can we do to stop this DV going on?
Can we curse on here?
Yeah. Well, say y'all whatever you want to say.
Y'all got a large female listenership?
Oh, no. We working on live stream. If something we can find it, that would be dope.
I want to be careful some things I say, because I might turn the female listeners off.
Yeah, we...
Oh, if they didn't get turned off from last episode, they you know, if we have any left.
Yeah, if we have any female listeners left, bro, I mean, you know, they should be good.
Cause I mean, I don't really, you know, I think if she attacks you, the manly thing to do is to walk away. But sometimes, man, you know, they'll say some shit and hit you, and you'd be like, this bitch here, do she know? And you just want to do something to let them remind them that you have the strength. But maybe that's why he just headbutted her. He didn't really want to punch her or none, but he was like, okay, I'll just pop, you know?
I've never understood the idea of going with a headbutt if I'm not in MMA. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. The first thing I'm thinking of is not to throw my head at a motherfucker. I don't get
this. I've never in a fight used that, man.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, sometimes I'm... fight just to see if it would work, but I figure I might knock myself out.
Exactly. You fuck around and both y'all be laid out, and you ain't one shit.
Like, some of that shit that just works in the movies and not in real life. Headbutt comes to mind.
Hey, that nigga tried it. Maybe it was that soccer. Remember he was trying out for soccer? Maybe that's what kicked in, and he just decided, yo, let's do this. I don't know, but maybe he thought he had to help.
But have you seen Evelyn Forehead, though? I mean, let's be real. No, I'm talking about her forehead before incident. She got a nice, you know, she got a nice five head out there. So, I mean, that would have been a good collision. I mean, maybe something happened where they butted heads. I mean, because, you know, that's weird, though. It's just a whole weird situation. When more, you know, when stuff come out, you know, I hope, you know, we know. Because I don't look at Chad as a woman beater. I just don't, you know, but you never know. Like they say, you don't, you know, just because you beat one woman don't mean you beat all women. You know.
I think it's scripted, to be honest, though.
Yeah, hey, I wouldn't put it past these motherfuckers, man. That is one thing I've been saying. Like, I'm like, man, I don't know, man. This might be some bullshit to drive up more ratings. Because, I mean, they grasping for straws here. Chad Johnson ain't caught shit in the last year but a charge. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, that's what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck, man? It's just weird. Weird.
And then she filed for divorce so quickly. That's like... Oh, you just sent it for the money.
Yeah, they canceled the show and now she out. Like, come on, man, stop. You know, I don't know. Weird.
Yeah, I don't know too many people. I mean, they only been married for 3 months. They probably only known each other for a year or two.
3 months? Yeah, they only been 39 days?
Yeah, they only been married for 3 months. I don't know how many people going to stick around.
July 4th, right?
Yeah, they got married July 4th.
Oh, okay, so shit. There you go. It ain't even been 3 months. I don't know how many people going to stick around after ass whooping. Like, what should you expect after a motherfucker whoop your ass that early? Why am I sticking around? So I don't have an issue with her filing for the divorce that early. I just feel like there's a larger issue, and it seems like, you know, a lot of parents are sending out broke-ass product to the streets, is the best way to put it. A lot of women are challenging men, and a lot of men don't know how to handle it.
Exactly.
Who had the condom receipt, though? He said it was her. She said it was him. Yeah. Is it possible they forgot, or it was both of them?
First things first. When you buy a condom and the other person don't know, why do you have the receipt? I don't understand that part at all.
Exactly.
Yeah, why do you keep the receipt? You're supposed to throw that shit away at the drugstore. Yeah,
people ask me, you need a receipt? No, I don't need it. I don't need it.
You know, you'll need the box, and you definitely need to separate the condoms before you bring them in the crib.
Telling me Chad ain't got no yes men that can go buy rubbers for him? Is that? I mean, I'm mad about that. Like, damn, Chad.
Yeah.
Like, where your crew at? Like, hey, bro, I need some rubbers. Like, you know, somebody. I mean, you gotta have one yes man on the
Come
team.
Come on now.
If, like,
you talking about a nigga that went to somebody's house?
He should be going raw. Big rubbers. Come on now, he Chad Johnson. He shouldn't be messing with no filthy hoes.
And did you see the chick that was the alleged hoe he was messing with?
That skinny white girl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I might have went raw too, bro.
Oh.
I could see being grimy and knocking the little daughter off. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that ain't really my daughter. And, you know, the daughter, but I don't know.
Oh, you talking about Evelyn's daughter?
Yes.
Oh, she out here somewhere.
Oh.
Let me find her.
So we kind of touched on the issue. Let's get the full-fledged issue. Yeah. You know, Chad apparently headbutted his wife.
Cause I don't like being serious. All right, that felt weird, man. I was just like, "Ooh, I gotta be serious." Like,
serious, then we got a long way to go. we got a hell of a long way to go. But Chad headbutts his wife. He ends up losing his job, losing his TV show, and she files for a divorce. This nigga's having the worst week ever. But do you think?
Did you see his Twitter profile? His what it says between a rock and a hard place.
This nigga playing it up already.
You should have got cake. This bitch is shaking the table.
Yeah, I don't. You know, what do y'all think about the Dolphins cutting him something?
I mean,
that's fucked up, man.
No, I can't. But on the show Hard Knocks, he foretold his future. He said, on my off day, I'm getting arrested. He said that shit. And it was crazy. And it happened. I mean, but as far as him cutting him, I mean, the dude had 15 catches last year, dog. Come on, man. I can find somebody off the street to give me 15 catches. It's all right. Me and you can get 15 catches in the
especially
NFL,
if Tom Brady throwing the motherfucking ball.
Exactly, Tom. Exactly. He ain't throwing it no more than 5 or 10 yards. You just have to do the rest of the work. You know what I'm saying? I can catch that. 15? Come on, man. That's why he got cut, man. Not because he beat somebody's ass. You know what I'm saying? Anybody could have. I mean, anybody, man. They know how many NFL players whooping ass. They don't care. You ain't producing, your ass is gone. Simple as that.
Yeah, that's it.
You think he's going to get picked back up?
I seen people telling some Chad. The Dolphins did him a favor by picking him up because he's from Miami. You know, ain't nobody else want him. Come on.
You think Terrell going to do good on his comeback?
I mean, I hope so for his sake, man. I hope he gives it his all. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, because Terrell, like I said, he always been a specimen. Niggas, you talking about, oh, he fag. I said, I bet you won't run up on T.O. ass. T.O. will beat your motherfucking ass. That nigga got like 2% body fat. You know, that nigga ain't no punk, nigga. Like, hey. But you know.
I beat that nigga in Domino's one time.
What? Oh, you beat him in Domino's?
I mean, I know it's a strange tidbit, but yeah, I beat his ass in Domino's.
Oh, and people, I forgot, me and Saul Wright are terrible. Let's first of all, before we start off, we didn't even give this guy a proper intro. People, this is Building the Block. If you don't know, he has some of the greatest random celebrity sightings. He's a man. I mean, if you don't know, follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Mr. Block?
The Building Block Without the Vowels.
Building Block Without the Vowels. For the dumb people, vowels are A, E, I, O's, and U's.
Sometimes why.
So, and sometimes why, you know. So, you know, for other people. So, yeah. Me, but go ahead. I ain't mean to interject, but you know, just like you know, it just need to know. He might come up with great stories. He might tell you he saw anybody. So he's the man.
Did y'all have money riding on the Domino's game?
Nah, I was broke. I mean, that nigga just got a new Rolex watch. I wish I could have played before.
Yeah, you should have. All you got to do is tell him you got the money in your pocket. T.O. ain't the brightest motherfucker. Man. Tell him to watch that daddy's house or some shit. You know, it would have fucked him up.
We was with mutual friends. And, you know, they wouldn't let me do them like that.
Damn.
You know, this was back in, when was this?
This was back before. That's my quarterback. It's my teammate.
He was fucking with Paula J. Parker on a low. This was a while ago when she was hot. Because we was in his hotel room up in Beverly Hills somewhere, man. And he had up in there.
Dang.
You know. What? But this one, I have to say the night it was when the Raptors, Vince O'Neill, when he was on it, he got 50 points against the Clippers. It was that game because we went to the game afterwards. Me, him, and Joe Torre.
Shout out to the homeboy, Joe Torre from St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Hey, get away from that plug, boy.
So, we're going to move along in the show with some more sports information. Your homeboy, Dwight Howard, finally got traded.
Where did he get traded to, right?
The almighty Lakers!
Fucking Lakers. They have another center in their great history of the
Lakers.
I'm surprised David Stern let this one go through. I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. But I guess he felt like he owed him one, and so they granted them the just Dwight Howard trade, and now Kobe can get him two more rings and pass Jordan, and
rings this year. Another parade. Oh shit.
Oh. So, folks, if you don't know, we have a California resident on the thing. So
of Chicago. I got to represent the Chi-Town first.
So y'all think
what part of Chicago? What part of Chicago?
You know, most people say the city, but I'm from Markham, the suburbs and shit. Okay. It's like 20 miles outside of Chicago, going southwest. Harvey, Country Club Hills. Shout out to Coco.
Procast number 22.
Yeah, she from Country Club Hills. I don't know if she wanted that information out there, but it's out there now.
Too late.
It's a little late now. So y'all think...
Ain't no disclosure policy. If I know something, I'm going to say it. I mean, I hope y'all don't get sued and shit.
Who cares? We ain't got sued yet, man. All
right.
Mm. Probably not going to happen, man.
Yeah, for shit is
just... I'll tell y'all about Brandon's story, too.
Who?
Never mind.
Is it even Lil Block one here? He like, yo, tell the story. Oh, my fault. Sorry, I'm sorry. This train got derailed.
Nah, y'all good, man. I was just wondering, y'all really think that adding D12 is really going to make the Lakers get the championship?
It ain't going to hurt.
I mean, dog, listen. Kobe with a center. We already saw what happened when Kobe has a dominant center.
Yeah, they lost in the playoffs.
They won 3 titles. I mean, what do you say?
They just had Bynum.
Come on.
Bynum is arguably the
second best. I said a dominant
second best
center
in the fucking league.
I think he's injured all the damn time.
Yeah, he squats to pee, man. He don't piss with his leg up yet, man. He's still squatting, bro. He a puppy, man.
He's the second best center in the league, and his stats are damn near tat for tat with Deitch.
He the second best center in the league in a league that only has 2 centers.
That's how you want to put it. How many stats? How far are his stats away from D12's? The only thing that there's a difference in is the fucking rebounds. Everything else, he's right at him.
Hey, Dwight Howard like 20 and 20 every night, man.
This nigga's like what 20 and 11 every night? 20 and 12?
Nah, hey, Bynum might be 15 and 10, might be.
So y'all think that was the reason why these niggas lost is because they didn't have a dominant center? So adding D12 and Nash is gonna get them past Oklahoma City.
Yes,
yep. We'll see, nigga.
See what he's shaking in his boots now because you're a Heat fan. And that's what it is. Y'all thought y'all was just going to have that road locked
up. I'm not worried about them.
Hey, we ain't worried about nobody. I mean, the Lakers ain't worried about nobody in the West, man. Kobe will get me. Listen, man. Come on, man. It's Kobe we talking about here.
Like I said, how many rings has Nash or D12 been able to win without being with Kobe?
Hey, both of them, neither one of them went to the finals.
Okay, so I'm not concerned with the niggas yet.
Excuse me, Dwight Howard did go to the finals where who beat him? Kobe. So he would have had a ring if it wasn't for Kobe.
And then what?
Ron O'Neal, we beat them. That's how the Lakers do. We beat you, then we bring you to our side.
Yeah, beat you. I mean, if you can't beat them, join them. He like, man. And he had to get out of the East because LeBron and them going to win the East regardless because ain't nobody out there. I mean, if Chicago get a shooting guard that can score – Chicago will be able to mess with them, you know, but until they get that guard, man, it's all about Miami in the East, you know.
So we're just going to act like the Boston Celtics didn't get better in the offseason.
They did?
Yeah.
Who they had?
They added Terry, they added Schlesinger in the draft, and they added...
That's on paper. We can't count Schlesinger and...
That's what we do every season. We talk about this shit on paper. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but at least proven. I mean, like I said, the East is all about
so
Miami.
So now, if that's not on paper and the Celtics don't count, how the fuck are the Lakers in the championship and that's on paper too?
Hey, because it's Kobe.
Get the fuck out of here with that shit, man. Good luck at the Lakers getting past Oklahoma City. I'm anxious to see how this shit pans out. They only got 1 year to do it because Nash will probably hang it up and D12 ain't going to come back if they don't win. And Kobe said he only got 2 years, so I don't know what the fuck else they going to do.
They can win a title 2 years in a row.
Now, explain this to me, Kobe fan and Laker fan. How is it okay for the Lakers to assemble this trifecta, but the Heat was the most hated team in pro sports for doing the same thing?
That's because LeBron was on that bullshit.
So it's just because of LeBron. It's basically what it is. That's where the hate came.
No, see, LeBron was like, all right, I'm going to lead the team I'm at. and go to Miami and form a super team. I ain't got no rings. I ain't going to get no rings in Cleveland. He jumped ship, you know, versus Kobe. I've been a Laker. I got my rings, paying my dues. You know, now I can bring in whoever I want to bring in to help me get more rings.
So in that situation, Kobe is Dwayne Wade. Steve Nash and LeBron did the same thing. No. And Dwight Howard and Chris Bosh did the same thing.
There's no other human on the world like him.
No, I'm talking about the way that the decision process you just laid out. Kobe said, I'm here. Let me bring some people here. Dwayne Wade said, I'm here. Let me bring some people here. Steve Nash said,
nah, he ain't say so. He ain't say, let me bring some people here. LeBron was like, I'm going to go over there.
But you just said Kobe said that. You said Kobe said, I'm here. I'm a Laker. I can bring some pieces here so I can win.
Yeah, of course. But I ain't said, Dwayne Wade ain't said that. Cause see,
Dwayne Wade was going to leave, too. He was going to leave, too. He was a free agent. And then they all decided, hey, we can go down there. Because Dwayne Wade was, everybody thinking about leaving now.
Right, everybody was thinking about leaving. And he didn't leave.
Kobe ain't thinking about leaving.
Yeah, Kobe ain't never, he acted like he was going to go somewhere. He went.
When did Kobe have a chance to be a free agent? Has Kobe ever been a free agent?
Yeah, he was that year they were talking about going to Chicago. But then he signed back with the Lakers because, he was pulling his card like, look, if y'all niggas don't get me some people in here, I'm bouncing.
That was talk during the season. Then, he never made it to free agency. That nigga re-signed because
they started making moves. That's when they got Paul Gasol or something like that. They was like, look, we'll get Paul Gasol, keep you here. You know what I'm saying? Because he was still going to leave, man. Yeah, that's when they got that Paul Gasol trade,
he was,
man.
He was never a free agent is my point. He was never.
He would have been a free agent.
Fuck would have. He was never a free agent, so he didn't have the rights to leave.
Yes, he could have left. He would have opted out. I guess that's how it works in the NBA.
That nigga was getting $9 million a second. That motherfucker wasn't going nowhere. He was never a free agent. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the situations are the same, and people that like the Lakers and like Kobe try to make it different. But this shit has been done time and time again. It happened with the Celtics when they brought that three together. It happened with the Lakers when they got Gary Payton and Karl Malone. It happened in New Jersey. It happened in New York. It's the same shit. But for some reason, when the Heat did it, they were the absolute assholes of the NBA. Steve Nash just said the same thing that LeBron James did.
But nobody had a show. I mean, I told you, it was the way it was done, I believe. You know, you had to have a show. I mean, I know ESPN was behind it, but you could have been like, man, come on, man, let's not make it big. And then the hoopla party, like I said, they made themselves, like, hateable. You know what I'm saying? If that's a word. They made themselves hateable. They can't blame, I'm sorry, it's all right. Can't blame, man. You can't blame us. They did it. They did this to us. They made us
but
hate.
The situations
them.
Are the same. I mean, that's my whole point. I understand the show.
I mean, it's been, free, look, yeah, it's but been, but I guess it was the way and who it was. And everybody think if you're the greatest player, you're supposed to stay in one city and win. You know that's just the way it is, all right. That's just no great player leaves. You know, they're supposed to stay in that town until they're old and they trade them away. That's fine if you get traded away, but you can't leave on your own. You know that's the rules.
That's
you know
bullshit.
Come on.
Look at Michael Jordan. He left to the Wizards and never won another championship again.
Never won anything. I don't even think they made the playoffs as the Wizards. I don't mean
you know that. He should have stayed with Chicago if he came back.
Yeah, he could have came back and just played for the Bulls and, you know, had a little, you know, going away party. But now he want to be a little hoe nigga and go play for the Wizards, man. That was the first time I ever wished Michael Jordan to fail, man. I was just like, you know what? I was so against that shit. I mean, I was just like, man, fuck Michael Jordan. Come back playing for the Wizards.
Couple last All-Star appearance.
Oh, man, he just looked terrible. Ugh, that Wizards jersey. Ugh.
That Wizards jersey did look pretty bad on him, but I don't know. I guess I just don't feel the same about anybody going to better themselves or their opportunity. I don't have a problem with that shit because there's no loyalty in sports at all. The managers will trade your ass when you get a hangnail. They don't give a fuck. They'll trade you for the next looking young kid that come out. And so the players are supposed to stay and stick through it. And I just think that's bullshit. If I'm in a situation where, let's say Nappy Afro stopped doing shit. And the source come up and say, yo, we got a whole new website. We doing this. I'm like, yo, Be Easy, King Germ. What we going to do? And Be Easy say, no, we ain't doing shit. We just going to stay the course. I'm going to the goddamn source. I'm not going to stay here and die with the sinking ship if it's a better opportunity there.
So, John,
it is what it is. If I got bird rights and I can get the fuck out of Dodge, I'm going to get the fuck out of Dodge. If y'all not trying to make the shit better.
Right here.
Huh?
Don't do no crime with that nigga right there.
Oh, no. No, nah, I tell you. Don't do no crime with me. I'm telling. That's why I don't do crime. A nigga told me some shit he did at the bank before, and I was like, hold on. Let me call the cops on the other end. I am not going to jail because you fucking up. I am not going to jail because you fucking up. But if I got an opportunity to make my shit better, and the motherfuckers that I'm with don't want to roll, what the fuck am I sticking around for? I don't get it. So LeBron, Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, Chris Bosh, all of them said the same fucking thing. And they said, yo, y'all niggas is not making moves to be competitive and be better. I'm out. And they all did the same thing. They rolled. I don't see no problem with this shit.
Well, I'll say, you know, but LeBron had better sneakers this time.
Hell nah. And you're welcome.
Oh, that's about it.
So let's get into
sneakerhead. So, sneakerhead. Yeah, Mr. People, Mr. Block is a sneakerhead. Also, what's the hottest sneaker? What's your favorite sneaker right now?
My favorite sneaker right now. Shit, it's too many of them, man. I mean, the Jordans is always popping them.
Just one pair, retro. It don't matter. What one pair of sneakers you on your list right now to grab?
Oh, them LeBron 9s, them orange ones. I wish I had got those.
Orange LeBron. I'm going to look these up, man.
They had the All-Star LeBron 9s. It was all orange. Oh, man. They was the business.
What's the most you paid for some sneakers in your collection?
$250.
Oh, that ain't bad.
I'm selling them now for $450.
I assume them motherfuckers never saw the concrete.
Nah, they've been in the box like 3 years.
Good gracious.
I'm a bass. Like, I buy sneakers and I won't wear them because I don't want to mess them up. They'll sit for like years. And then one day, a special occasion comes. Let me pick a sneaker to wear. And it takes about a half an hour to figure out which one I want to wear.
Good. So, how many pairs of sneakers do you have?
I had 200.
Oh, shit.
I've got less than that because I've sold about half. So, I may have like 100 left.
200, like you. So you one of the motherfuckers that have a house in a different part of the city that's just for your shoe?
No, I had a closet, two closets, just filled with them, you know. And I just started selling them because I wasn't wearing them; they was just in the closet.
Wow.
So, I was selling them, and, you know. And there's a few I keep that are like sentimental values and stuff that, you know, represent like periods of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I keep them. And then I got the boys some so we can be out matching.
Oh, okay. So you get like what? You buy the Air Force Ones or Jordans? Or, I mean, what kind of shoes do you buy? Like,
I got a few Air Force Ones. I ain't into those no more. I got Jordans and I just started getting to the Kobe's and the LeBron. And I like running shoes too, like the Nike Air Maxes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I like the Hyper Dunks and stuff like that.
So what makes a sneaker collectible, you know, and this is outside of the ones that they release as collectibles, only 200 pieces or whatever, but what makes the LeBron 9 more collectible than the fucking Dwayne Wade 1, the Converse that came out that nobody gives a shit about, or the Allen Iverson?
Well, I say because he got a ring with this one, that'll make it collectible. This one, he got his first ring on, so that's always going to, you know, resonate. And then the design, you know what I'm saying? The design of this, the 9 was iconic. And then with the, when they did that special one, they upgraded all the materials and stuff and charged $250.
So is that's basically my point. That's where I'm going with this. Is it the release price that really determines if some shit going to be worth something later? Because I could go right around the corner and get some goddamn Shaqs from Kmart, and they're not going to be worth shit ever.
It ain't price, but I think it's more so the color scheme and how good the sneaker looks. Like when they redesigned it and improved it, then they put the certain color schemes on it. That makes it collectible. You know, when they like some wild little, you know, you wouldn't kind of expect color, like them pastel joints and stuff. The Miami Beaches, I think they call. Yeah. You know, those, you know, you see them like, damn, what the hell is that? And then you want it, but then shit, so does everybody else. And then you sitting out, camping out all night trying to get it. I've camped out maybe 3 times for a sneaker. I'm too old for that shit now.
I know. Like, I remember when in high school, when the damn Huaraches came out, then white ones with the yellow and turquoise tops. And they were, I think when they came out, they were like $110. And back then, that was big shit. But now Huaraches are going for $600 or $700, the same fucking shoe. And I'm sure that the cats that had them in high school didn't know that they was going, you know, go up 600% on the goddamn market. But that's, like, what do you, when the shoe comes out, how do you actually know that you should go ahead and spend $200 and keep them in the box as opposed to spending $200 and putting them bitches on?
That's a good question. I could, for Jordans, I can say if it's a retro, you know, that shit's going to always make money because everybody wants a Jordan. Now, like the Huaraches and stuff like that, that's on a case by case basis. I see some of them and everything, but I ain't really a big Huarache person, so I couldn't tell you like what makes those collectible. But like the Jordan 4s, you know, a lot of that is hype. It's the hype over it. You know what I'm saying? The older niggas, you know, make the shoe hype to the younger niggas. They see all the hot people and the cool people wearing them, so they want to be down. So they get them. They probably never seen Jordan play before, even though. What his games look like, but because everybody getting them and they see that it's hype, they want to get on the bandwagon too.
Yeah, like I was asking my little nephew, I said something about Michael Jordan. He said, "Oh, you talking about the dude to play for the Wizards?" And I was just like,
"Oh man,
can you even find a picture of that nigga in a Wizards uniform online? Like that shit just never existed." They don't
pump that. I mean, he was born in '96, so he was just like, "Oh, you talking about the guy to play for the Wizards?" And I'm like, "No, dude, that's not Jordan." I mean, well, that is Jordan, but that ain't Jordan. I used to have to explain that to him, but yeah, man. But sneaker shit, crazy, man. I want to find, like, I wish I could find, like, I see they bringing back all the old shoes. Them Dan Marino shoes. I mean, I love them shits, man.
Good luck, bro.
So that would be your one shoe journey. If you could afford it, you go splurge for the Dan Marinos in mint condition.
Man, I will go get them Dan Marinos, man.
Yeah. But like that shit, the internet, man, has changed the shoe game a lot, man. Because before, it was just you popped in the store and you saw them on the shelf, and you know, you might get lucky and call your boy and say, "Hey, they got the new joints, come get them real quick or something." And you know, you got lucky nowadays, or you asked the employee and they told you when something was coming out and you came back. Nowadays, they got all these shoe blogs, and you know, when a shoe is coming out at least a year. Or you know, 7 months before it actually drops. So you got time to, you know, scheme and plan your attack to get them. And so does everybody else. So that's why you had like thousands of people congregating in one spot on that day trying to get a shoe. And then they got raffles, which I hate because, you know, that's the luck of the draw. Somebody can show up 5 minutes and get a ticket and win. And you can show up overnight and get a ticket and win and lose. So, you know.
So it's the real deal out there on the shoe thing, man. Like, it's not a game.
Yeah, I ain't the one.
I mean, it's cats that make a living, you know, doing a shoe thing. They'll stand in line or get the hard to find or hard to get releases, and they'll sell them on eBay or the consignment stores for twice that. Like them Kanye joints, they going for like $2,000 now.
Oh my goodness! They
going for. Them phone posits, the Galaxy phones, they going for 1,000+.
That's fucking ridiculous.
You know?
That's fucking ridiculous.
Some shorts, you know, and it ain't for the meat, you know? Like, I'm getting out of it, man. I ain't bought no brand new shoe. I think I bought some Kobe's to run, you know, beat around in, but, you know, the quality ain't the same either, man. The paint be cracking and shit on these Jordans and, you know, you get your heart all set and me looking flying next. You know, after 1 wear, the paint done cracked and you're like, shit, I spent all this money and time to get this for this. I plan to sell them to some other sucker. That I don't know about.
I ain't even mad at you about that shit. Let's wrap up the sports section here. We got the Olympic wrap up. I don't know what else y'all want to say about this, but it's on the docket if we want to talk about this shit.
Hey,
go ahead.
Y'all think The female track runners this year, they had smaller asses than the years before.
Hey, but
look at them, some slim chicks. They ain't had a dunks this year.
They had some cuter faces. I don't know. Maybe the faces were a little cuter because I'm in love with Sonya. That's my baby. That's my baby. I mean,
I think overall, the Olympic teams were a lot slimmer, a lot trimmer this year than they have been. So you might be onto something. You might be onto that right there.
I was looking for ass, and I didn't really see it that much. I mean, that one little Jamaican chick, you know.
Fraser Price. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, she, you know. I mean, she didn't look sexy, though. I mean, she had a nice ass, but she didn't look like, oh, wow, I want to beat that up. You know, she's like, oh, look, my little sister won. That's the kind of look she had.
She was always smiling, you know, and shit.
To me. Yeah,
they got ran. The women's track team ran the shit out of them. They cut the Olympic record by like a second and a half or some silly shit.
Damn, good gracious. Yeah, that was. And the men's 4x1 was an awesome 37 seconds of TV to watch the way the Jamaican men beat up on. I mean, I ain't gonna say the fourth leg, you know, we started, he had a step on boat, but come on, man, that's Usain Bolt, bro. I mean, you know.
I bet that one light-skinned nigga on the U.S. team, I bet he got some crazy-ass pussy in the Olympics up there, boy. I'm hoping it was after him, I bet.
Yes, sir. Like, yeah, you did good. You almost beat Usain Bolt. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm like, bitch, I'm the second fastest man in the world. What you talking about?
LL Cool J shit. Yeah, and I went to the Olympics before.
Where's the next Olympics at?
Rio.
Brazil or Rio?
Rio.
Rio. Oh, let me tell y'all a funny story. This is kind of related to Olympics. It's international. The other day, we was playing spades, you know, out in my neighborhood. And it's an African guy. He came up. You know, he was sitting there watching us play. So I said, hey, you want to play some spades? He said, oh, I'm from Africa. We don't know nothing about spades. We know about AIDS. I'm just like, oh, shit. And he said that, boy. I'm talking about, man, everybody just, like, died. I was just like, hey.
We don't know about spades. We know about AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, I mean, I was just like, hey, bro. I mean, but yeah, I'm sorry. I had to tell that joke one time. You know, I had to tell everybody about it before I
forgot. God damn. We don't know about spades. He was African. We know about it.
But yeah, the Olympics, man, USA, another successful Summer Olympics. We won the medal count, so it feels good to be American, you know. So, you know, we the dominant, we the best.
I guess. Red, white, and blue. The women represented. Funny how we whooping their ass, but they represented the Olympics. They won more gold.
Hey, that's what we train their ass to do.
Oh, shit.
Hey, barefoot in the kitchen. Pregnant. That's how we like our women.
King Jeremy, are you really trying to get killed by the female listeners? The two that we have left?
No, man. Everybody know I'm being sarcastic. They know King Jeremy loves the ladies, man. Stop it, man. I don't know why y'all. Tracy May, next time I talk to you, we're going to have a powwow, you know what I'm saying? Because I think you misunderstood some of what I was saying last week. And, you know, I don't want it to be, you know, because I didn't like the way I was being portrayed last week. You know, The way Saul edited the show, it made me seem like I didn't like.
Wow,
you know, that was an edit job. I wish y'all could hear the raw file, but you know, Saul Wright and Be Easy, they like, you know, punching buttons and changing stuff around. So,
you know, that's the story you going with this week.
What you mean that's what happened, right?
No, not what happened at all, nigga. God damn.
Yeah.
This nigga put it on me. Anyway, man, we gonna move the fuck along with this lying ass bastard. We got some music news. Some shit is popping. Little shit everywhere. Shout out to that site. Got that site. Some label shout going out. Again. And did y'all hear about that news?
No.
So apparently, you know, OK Player. Is relaunching the record label. You know, Quest is relaunching the record label. And Danny Swain will be the first release on September 25th, I believe, with his album.
No wonder he's been posting so much. I've been off like...
Nah, I just said like a motherfucker. He's been insanely busy posting today.
Yeah.
I like his stuff.
Yeah, Swain's pretty straight. You know, we featured...
Like, I mean, I wouldn't buy it. I mean, I'm going to download it for free, but, you know, I like it.
God damn.
I got a son.
Don't tell the secrets.
I ain't got no more disposable income, man. I got a son now. He gets all my money, so.
Hey, don't feel bad. Like I said, I don't feel bad for these rappers out here, man. They got an easy job, bro. You sitting up, you go to the studio all night. Yeah, you sitting there writing raps, chilling with your friends, smoking weed, getting high drunk. If you don't tour and you don't make no money, I don't feel bad for you because I'm going to buy your record. But, you know, I mean, not saying.
I'm buying a record a year. Jay-Z album, like whatever he buy that one album. I download it first, but I always buy one.
I mean, I bought two albums last year. You know what I'm saying? That was the first time I bought an album in 9 years.
And the Roots. I buy the Roots. I always buy them off GP. I get one.
Now, I can't slander Block for what he's saying. But, Jern, you do realize that you work for a review site for hip-hop, right? You do realize yes. that we're kind of in the music business.
Oh, we are? Oh. Damn. I'm not advocating anybody getting their pirate on. I'm not saying, you know, I don't, that's wrong as fuck. You know what I'm saying? But I do, you know, if it's good music, I will support it. I ain't going to say, you know, but it's been a lot of good music I haven't supported, so I can't say.
I downloaded that. My own album. Shit.
Hello, you made music, Block? You made music?
Yeah, I ain't so much into it nowadays, but I did a little songwriting, producing and stuff. I co-wrote a song and got on Cisco's second album.
Damn! So we got
a song. Wait a minute. Cisco.
Yeah.
Like Drew Hill, Cisco.
Into the Dragon. The thong, the thong, thong, yeah. thong.
What the fuck did you co-write with that nigga?
Me and my buddy and his girl, we co-wrote a song called Last Night on his second album. And, you know, he got it to his managers, and he liked the song, and we went to Babyface Studio, and he recorded it. That nigga danced while singing. Like that shit he do on stage, when he performing in front of a crowd, he does that in the booth. It's like he puts on the performance right there, and you like, damn, that nigga really into this shit. He twirling and doing that shit, and he do, falling to his knees, and, oh, baby, all that shit.
Oh, damn. Shit. He ain't bullshit like, neither, man. He ain't bullshit.
So how do you...
Right down on Highland and Melrose at Babyface Studio, we did that.
How do you go about the process? What's the process to get a song into the hands of a recording artist?
Well, for this one, I know he knew his management, my boy Nate. Shout out to Nate and Tavia. He knew the management, so we wrote the song. We demoed it. Nate sings, so he demoed it. You know, he produced a track and demoed it. And he got it to his manager, and his manager played it for Cisco. And he's like, yeah, I want to do this for my next album. And the song was so hot. We were supposed to be the lead single. And fucked around, and Teddy Riley, because of his name, got the lead single. And we got the B-side. I still got that 12-inch. You know, I'm telling people, oh, man, we got his first single. People was congratulating us at industry parties. I'm feeling like on top of the fucking world, like, shit is about to pop for me. You know, I've been out here 2 years grinding. Bam! You know, this is my chance. Nigga, we got the B-side, and I didn't even hear it played on radio. I get a royalty check from, like, karaoke in Japan, you know.
That's a goddamn shame. So you didn't get no sneakers off the deal?
Yeah, I got like, well, the mechanical royalty. I got that, then I quit my job and shit, and I got...
From what fucking song?
Yeah, I had about 15% of the song, you know, because you divide up in 50-50. You know, the music is 50, and the lyrics is 50. And since we co-wrote it, I got 15%, and they got 20 and 25 or something like that. Then since he produced the track, he got all of that.
So, that album went platinum, right? I don't think he's got an album that didn't go platinum.
It just went platinum. That's all it went was platinum. But
did you get a platinum plaque for that?
Nah, you got to buy them shit, man.
I thought they just like, you know, they dole them out. Like, yeah.
I mean, if somebody like you, you know, they like buy it and give it to you as a gift and shit, you know. You
oh, okay.
Like that, but I'm a nobody. Ain't nobody finna buy no plaque and give me.
I got a question. So let's say he won, that album won a Grammy for Album of the Year. Do you get a Grammy for being a writer on one song?
I think so. I would have hoped so. Shit.
Man, that's all right right there, man. Damn. Hey, see, look. This has been an educational show for the
NFL. We were supposed to have a video for the song, but, you know, the project stalled and they shelved it. And that was it, man. You know, every night, like I said, I get like a $25 royalty check or something from Japan. But that's like accumulated over like a couple of years and shit, because all they do is karaoke and everything.
God damn. So if I go right now to the store and I can find that album, a brand new album, and buy it, you'll get a check in the mail for like 3 cents.
Probably.
That's
okay. I mean, I need to see if I got some more royalties. I just got that one check and that was it. You know, they might owe me some back royalties, but I don't think it's sold anymore from that.
And what's the name of this album? Enter the Dragon?
Return of the Dragon or something?
Yeah, Return of... Hey, people, go out and buy Cisco's second album. Help help building a block. We help baby block. We're trying to send them to college. So y'all go out and go buy Cisco album. Matter of fact, go to iTunes and just buy that one song. Don't even go buy the whole album. Just go buy that one song.
Don't legal download and take food out of my kids'
mouth. Ain't that a bitch? Exactly, ain't that a bitch? Ain't that a bitch?
I didn't get high in the studio. I didn't have no time
like
making
it. Full circle, nigga. Full circle.
On the party.
Full circle, nigga. Speaking of writers, though, in the music biz, the big story that leaked, I guess, over the last 24 hours is that Nas had ghostwriters, specifically J Electronica and Stickman from Dead Prez, were ghostwriters on his Untitled album. Is this a big deal or not in hip hop if you have a ghostwriter?
Man, that shit is a big fucking deal, man. That hurt my heart. And I don't even like Nas like that. Because, you know, with rappers, I mean, you can see somebody, okay, man, ghostwriting ain't no new shit. You know, Biz Markie, Kane wrote all his shit mostly. You know, and that fucked me up back in the day because you think, damn, what kind of nigga make a rhyme spelling out your name for you to say and shit? The M of the Ozzy, MRZK. You like, you know, what kind of shit is that? But, you know, it's like, here Nas is, this nigga made Illmatic. And 6, 7, 8 albums later, he got a ghostwriter. Like, come on, B, get the fuck out of here. Hip hop is falling off.
I mean, maybe he felt like, you know, he just wanted to, you know, maybe he felt like he had lost touch with his audience and he wanted to, you know, get in some people to bring in some new ideas to kind of refresh his name because this was on the Nigger album, right? Or Untitled, whatever they call it. You
know, smoking all that reefer, that's what you need to do. And take a sabbatical, go to Hawaii and like Kanye, and take your time and make a new album and shit. I don't know, man. I mean, when you get to that type of superstardom, the pressure is intense, and it ain't no, you know. I mean, your first album is easy because you spend your whole life riding that. The next ones is hard as hell because you only got a year to make it, and then you got to come up with shit in a year of experiences and life lessons, whatever that's interesting to people to, you know, make another album.
But why do we... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If I was a rapper, man, I'd take all them old rhymes I have, you know, back in the day and make two albums out of that shit.
And he did, though. He did Rhyme Book, and that was it. That song Rhyme Book that he did was all his old rhymes. It was a rap.
Yeah, he put more into that shit, man.
But, like, why do we treat hip-hop so different? Because there's not another genre of music that doesn't have writers. Even comedians. Even our favorite comedians have writers that write their fucking jokes. So why is hip-hop so different?
Yeah, that shit hurt my heart too, man. And when I found out Paul Mooney wrote that shit for Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor, I mean, it's still their voice saying it, but it's like, nigga.
Yeah. Like, Paul Mooney is a beast. Like, damn. Like, Paul Mooney's, exactly.
Because, you know, we're big on authenticity. You know what I'm saying? We want to feel some shit that you went through. You know, not what another nigga went through and you just recounting it. Like, if y'all found out I was telling lies and I didn't do none of this shit, y'all be like, oh, this shit nigga here. You know, I might have made it sound good, but y'all be like, oh, man, we can't trust this nigga and shit, man. He living somebody else's life and telling them like it's his. But for the record, this is all shit I've done.
But I mean, I think it's different.
Ain't no ghost.
I think it's different if it's me and you talking about some shit one-on-one as opposed to entertainment. Like, I don't understand why it's a big deal when we got cats do it in all the other arenas. And just because someone else wrote it doesn't mean that you're not putting your own thing on it. Like, we give Eazy-E a pass, and we know that motherfucker barely wrote his name. We know everybody wrote his shit. But Eazy-E is still regarded as a West Coast legend and one of the dopest to do it. But then... when we hear Nas has a writer, or we hear that, you know, Lil' Kim, Biggie wrote for Lil' Kim and shit like that, it's always different. And don't we
always assume that with female rappers, like, who writing their shit? Like, that's the first thing. If a female rapper rap too good, first thing we say, I wonder who ghostwriting that. Who writing that shit?
I know MC Light had ghostwriters. It was like it was a rap. Like, oh, man, fuck it,
bro. Light had a ghostwriter, though.
Yeah. Grand Pooba and Kane and LL.
Damn.
And I, you know, like.
But does that mean that she's not dope anymore?
Yeah.
But tried to rap before? You said that you produced. You tried to rap too, right?
Yeah, that shit is
exactly
hard.
So if you can spit the shit that somebody else writes perfectly, I don't know what the problem is. You're still entertaining.
But it ain't real.
That's performing. That's like, you know, that's like Britney Spears. You know, she ain't
part of this business is entertainment. If I wanted a biography, then I'd go buy your fucking book. But this is still part of this is entertainment. So some of this shit, a good majority of the shit is fake anyway.
Like, what if you find out LL didn't write "I Need Love"?
If he got a ghostwriter for that song, he's whack as fuck. That song wasn't super deep or nothing like that.
Even Boomin' System or Eat 'Em Up, L, or
I'm Bad,
or Break of Dawn, or I'm Bad. Like, you'd be like, yo, fuck out of here. Or if Run DMC didn't write their first rhymes, come on.
Let's not act like Run DMC was dope lyrically anyway.
What?
Let's not act like they were dope lyrically anyway. They were enjoyable.
2 years.
They were enjoyable.
A friend of mine asked me to say something. Man, nigga, that album still gets burned today in the system.
I agree. The shit sounds good, but I wouldn't. How many times do you hear Run DMC listed when you talk about lyrics of hip hop? How often do you hear them listed as one of the lyrical giants of the game?
They say Reverend Run. They used to say Reverend Run. They used to say he was a man now.
Reverend Run can smoke damn near 90% of these rappers out the day. If he just wasn't, you know, if he was rapping some Hollis Queen shit, not no For the Lord and shit. Not saying nothing's wrong rapping about the Lord, but he got to take it back to the street shit, you know.
Yeah. When he was Run, not Reverend Run.
Hey, his last album was dope, too. His last album was dope. The delivery, same
thing. I'm DMC, in the place to be. Oh, man.
That dope lyrically to you, I'm DMC, like, in the place to be, is dope. Like. Dope lyrically to you?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
I mean, what, you like that crazy out of space shit, niggas?
No,
be kicking?
Rakim.
That Pharaoh Mind shit. I mean, it's all right if you
seven MCs in the line.
Did this nigga say Pharaoh Mind is all right if you high? But DMC in the place to be is dope.
Nigga, Mace is better than Pharaoh Mind. And if you don't know, you better ask somebody.
The fuck on. this nigga tripped. This nigga.
Would you rather go to a concert with Mace, like 96 era Mace, or go see Pharamont, 92 era Pharamont in a concert? Which one is going to entertain you?
I would see
Pharamont
in a casket before I go see Mace perform.
Oh, man, I don't believe that.
I would.
Wait.
I told you, man, Puff Daddy was one of the best shows I've been to.
Hey, I talk about Puff. We're talking about Mace.
Puffy, Mace, same thing.
Two different
right?
people. We're talking about Mace. Yeah. Mace sleepy ass rap.
Did you ever listen to his verse? I listened to today. More money, more problems came on. That nigga Mace was killing it. That verse right there is killing it. That nigga said he stayed coochie down to the socks.
And that's the only time we read that or some shit.
Huh? What about that song? Why are you over there looking at me? Why your girl standing there? Whatever that song.
Yeah, it
is. That nigga might.
Why you mad if I see and why you can't satisfy your wifey?
You know what I'm saying? I can't even think of no Pharaoh Monch quote right now. Get the fuck up. Simon Says.
I know Pharaoh Monch got ate by Fonte. I know that much. Pause on
he
all
ate
that.
Him? He ate him?
Yes. Fonte ate on his album, man. It's all right. Oh, he gone.
No,
man.
I didn't hear
it's
what
right,
you said.
Gone.
It's cutting out.
I said Fonte ate Pharaoh Monch on that album, on that song, on his last album.
Fonte's a bad motherfucker. Like, that's not a downgrade. It's like you saying, that's not a downgrade. This shit happens.
I ain't never been a fan of Fonte. You know, I ain't saying he's whacking none. I just ain't been a fan of his.
So let's put this shit off perspective real quick, because you just summed it up for me. This nigga said that I'm DMC and the place to be is doper than Pharaoh Monch's lyrics, and Mace is doper than Pharaoh Monch. You co-wrote a song for Cisco, and you just said that you're not a Fonte fan.
I ain't a Fonte fan. And then none personal. I met him. Lovely brother. You know, good spirit and everything. I just, that music they make don't move me for some reason.
Hey, you don't like Fonte music? I
listen to every album they put out. I listen to Foreign Exchange. I listen to Little Brother. I listen to the solo stuff, and it just, you know, I ain't heard a song that made me want to rewind from them.
But I'm
DMC, not even Who Loves You More
is dope.
Nah, man. I mean, and like I said, I'm not going to say the brother's whack. I ain't going to say that. But it just ain't for me. You know, some shit out there just ain't for you. Like, what's that dude? I can't remember the name, but he came out around the time Arrested Development was hitting, and he had like a half bald head, half dreadlocks. Me Fi Me, you know. Yeah, that was his name, Me Fi Me. So people might have liked that shit. Me, I personally couldn't fuck it, you know.
This nigga. This.
Some people, that was shit. Even PM Dawn. Some people fuck with that.
I can't fuck with PM Dawn. I never could. It's Nathan. No. I could fuck with that guy.
Was cousin fucker. They like fuck their cousin or something. Or what? Industrial shit. But yeah, they incest nigga shit.
PM Dawn, was he from America or something? He wasn't from here.
Yeah, Washington or something.
Oh, shit. I thought he was from England or something, man. Oh,
from America, man. Fat and weird. And that De La... See, Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul fucked up the game. They let the weirdos in. They made it okay to be weird. Before, you couldn't be weird and shit. You had to fit a certain stereotype of a rapper, which was street. Hard as hell. The niggas came in letting niggas, oh, you could be soft. Now you got motherfuckers openly gay. Singing and shit and saying, well, maybe Prince opened that lane up. He's like, with that misogyny, androgyny shit, you know, ambiguously.
So you didn't like the Native Tongue Collective either? You didn't like the Native Tongue Crew?
No, I liked them. I liked them. Don't get me wrong. I liked them. But I realized that their lasting legacy on hip hop was to let the weirdos in. You know? It made it okay to be weird and shit, you know? Talking all that crazy shit like De La Soul, they might, you know, with all them, you know, I still don't know what the fuck they saying from that first album, but
Houdini was some weird motherfuckers too though.
Well, you think about it in the day when I saw that Unsung and realized that these niggas is coming out with short shorts and
them niggas was weird as fuck, yo. Shoulder pads with no shirts and shit and thigh high.
Yeah, you know.
Them niggas was weird.
And niggas are trying to be like them and Jermaine Dupri dancing with them and shit. The Kango Kid and all them, Dr. Ice.
Yeah, it was kind of weird shit then. Niggas was wearing rabbit tails and colored Jerry curls and shit. It was definitely weird then. I don't know how you could blame it on the Native Tongue Squad.
No, that was like Melly Mel and them doing that punk rock shit. Yep. Then you had Houdini doing street and the punk rock entertaining. Then you had Run DMC saying, man, fuck that shit, B. We coming out with leather. Look, rocking the B-boy stance. They covered an end to that shit. Like, we ain't doing that shit. You know? But I mean, you
man,
can't.
Sounds like hippies.
You know, Houdini had some hits though. I'm a hoe. You know, I'm a hoe. They was getting pussy, whether they look weird or not. They was like, nigga.
That's and that's the crazy part is that's usually how it goes. Follow the weirdest nigga in the room. He's probably fucking the most broads.
Yes, sir.
Look at Prince.
That motherfucker's guy.
He makes dope songs though, but you know, like, well, I don't know. Yeah, but Fonte's all right, man. I just, you know, ain't into his music that much, you know.
So right now, what are five albums that are your constant rotation that you listen to all the time?
All the time?
Give me five. I'm sure you got more than that.
Man. All right, Rick Ross.
Which one?
I like Rick Ross. Doesn't matter. Shit, pick one. They all sound the same.
Damn, I jumped too soon. Shoot.
Zach, hold me. I like that shit. These niggas can't hold me back. I like him shit because he don't give a fuck. He just, that's that old Florida get crunk shit. I like that. I always rock Jay-Z.
Any particular album where, you know, just close your eyes and pick?
Reasonable Doubt. Volume 1.
Wow. You like Volume 1?
Yeah, but Volume 1 is what made me a Jay-Z fan. His first one was cool, but I wasn't into the hype. But Volume 1 came out, that Imaginary Player. Yeah. Nigga, that song right there made me a Jay-Z fan.
Yeah,
groupies. I was living in New York then, in Harlem. And I was riding around with these niggas from the Bronx in the Cadillac. And they just kept rewinding that song over and over. And we was drinking Henny. And they were smoking weed. And I was getting in contact. And I think by the end of the night, I knew the whole song verbatim. And I just liked them after that.
This nigga got high and remembered the song. That's some good weed right there.
It must have been. But since then. Let me see. You know what's funny? I play everything once and then... You know, I just go, it's so much new shit I download, I don't have time to really listen to albums over and over again. Like, I listen to them, I might listen to an album once a year, and then might get a chance to listen to it again later on if it ain't, you know, grab me that first time. Like, I've heard that Rick Ross album about 3 times now.
So how much music do you listen to? I mean, you listen to a lot of music, I take it, then, if you don't have... That's amazing. Good gracious.
But you know what, though? Most of the time, I'm playing old shit, because I got the boy around here, and Lucy be like, you don't be playing that Waka Flocka shit around him. But she at work, so she can't tell me what to do. But
exactly.
When she home, you know, we might play some Al Green or some Curtis Mayfield or some Isley Brothers or Soul. But when she at work, we going hard in the motherfucking paint. And shit.
Yes,
we
sir.
MC, we playing Bun B, we playing 2 Chainz. Hey, baby.
Not 2 Chainz. Yeah. God damn, not 2 Chainz.
I was just telling her, I let the boy listen to Curtis Mayfield.
So you know, man, if you so you don't like the birthday song, so all right, man, you got like that.
I like 2 Chainz. I fuck 2 Chainz.
It's my birthday. No. Come on, you got like that song, bro.
Yeah, I like
one for my birthday is a big booty hoe.
You got like 2 Chainz. I liked him from Duffel Bag Boy when he was. I liked him when he was on Ludacris album and shit.
Yes, he was Titty Boy.
I don't get Titty Boy.
2 Chainz. Lil Fake was harder than Titty Boy. I remember. From what's that song? When We Were Kids off of Ludacris.
The song, yeah, punching, yeah, the little throwback song.
Get the next one to blow from Disturbing the Peace. You know what I'm saying? They didn't get that nigga no shine. And then Shauna stopped fucking them niggas, so that's why she got kicked to the curb.
Plus, you know, he probably upgraded. He's like, Shauna, you're just too old now. I mean, she was, I don't know.
I remember when Kanye used to produce her back in the day. They were the infamous syndicate. And Kanye used to produce them.
I remember that name for some reason.
It was her, Shauna, and Teef. They were 2 girls. One was fat, and she was the fine one.
Infamous Syndicate. Yeah, the
interesting that you bring up your boy Ye. His ass is in the music news, too. That nigga got dissed by Chief Keef. Apparently, Chief Keef told him that Kanye ain't do shit for his career, and he was already hot, and Kanye just came and pirated his beat.
I can see his point of view, though.
So, you think there's validity in the fact that he's saying that Kanye didn't do shit for his career?
I ain't going to say Kanye didn't do shit for his career, but I think it's a double-edged sword. It did something for Kanye, because Kanye saw youth movement going on, and he latched on to it, and he got some more fans or got some publicity from that era. And in return, he gave, you know, Chief Keef some of his publicity, but... He dick-rided the young boy, though, because the young boy didn't go looking for Kanye. Kanye went looking for the young boy. So I can see his point of view, like, this nigga came looking for me, you know, and he dick-rolled me, and he took my shit. And, I mean, he might have did his little thing and got me a little pub from it, but still, this was my song from the jump, you know. So I feel him on that, you know. But at the same time, you know, I wouldn't, you know. I guess this young nigga is feeling himself like, fuck, I don't even know Kanye.
Yeah, like he got another song out right now. Like, all I know is I don't like, that's everybody, you know. I mean, besides, like, my little nephew, he's 16, so, of course, he listens to Chief Keef. So he know more songs, but, you know, it just sound like, come on, bro, don't go out there and say that. Because you in the same boat with Young Chop now. You ain't gonna get no more motherfucking work from Kanye. And I ain't saying you had to, you know, ride his dick or nothing, but damn, bro, gave you a good look. He remixed your song, you know, because some people haven't heard the original.
I never had heard that shit.
Exactly. That's what I'm like. So don't say, you know, he ain't did shit for you when that's a fucking lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on,
just
man.
In terms of.
But I like this point, though. It's a lot of dick riding in the music industry, man. And, you know, I can see his point that, like, yo, I ain't trying to come out riding dicks and shit, so fuck Kanye. But at the same time, you know, you got to be mindful.
Yeah, I don't see his point because it's a lie. Like just based on the pub, his name next to Kanye's in the same sentence because of the controversy gets him more hits. That's it. Nobody is checking for Chief Keef and says, "Oh, who's Kanye?" They check for Kanye and say, "Oh, who the fuck is Chief Keef?"
Yeah.
So I mean, I get the logistics of it as an artist. Somebody just jumping in on your shit and pumping it up, you're like, man, fuck that shit. But to say that he didn't do anything for your career, nigga, that's the only reason your shit is on the internet, period. Otherwise, your ass would still be in Chicago with the Bud Billiken parade. Nobody would know you outside of Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what? I got to salute the young boy because he got that cockiness that LL had when he was 15, 16.
Well, if he could get skills to back it up, it'd be all good.
Yeah, if he had the skills to back it up. But you can't kill that cockiness in the youth, because that's what made hip-hop, that rebel cockiness, that, like, fuck you, nigga. I'm standing over here doing my shit my way. What you gonna do about it? That's what made us gravitate to it, because them R&B singers weren't saying that shit. They were like, baby, I'll do your bath water for you. Just give me some. Just give me some. These niggas like, bitch, get over here and suck this dick. And niggas like, yeah, that's what I really want to say to that.
And the only difference is that they had the talent back then. That's the only problem with the younger cats that rap right now. Is right now they say I'm hot as fuck, and then they come out with snapbacks and tattoos. No, you need to come up with some lyrics, man.
They just got the skills yet.
You know what I'm saying? You need to write some shit that matters. I don't give a fuck about your snapbacks and tattoos. This song will be outdated in 2 years.
They practice their rapper attitude and got that shit on point, but them skills
are terrible. The motherfuckers is, watch my feet, watch my feet. Okay, nigga, what else do you have to say? We get it. You hot right now. Do something with it. Like, damn. You know. But now we at the point of the show. Germ's favorite moment of the show. We got to talk about the love of hip-hop ATL. And I'll go ahead and let Germ lead, because he cares more about this shit than I do. Thank God we only have one episode left.
Nigga, I love the show too, man. Oh my God,
you niggas. No wonder you on the goddamn show. Y'all niggas brothers. I need to check the paperwork. Shit. Go ahead, Jerm. Let the people know about Love & Hip Hop this week.
I mean, first of all, when I found out there's only one more episode left, I was heartbroken. I mean, because it's like, I want to see more of this show. I mean, it's like, it's moved past. I understand it's reality TV, but I think they need to find a way to get K. Michelle and Emmy. Because, I mean, she's putting her best Susan Lucci performance on this last episode. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, come on, I saw Pain. I saw it. K. Michelle, she's on her way, man. She's going to be an actress one day.
She will have a show. I'm positive now.
I like her bird ass, man.
Yeah, I think we all do. We all like that hood and that shit.
She was flirting with that football player. I was like, this bitch is easy.
I said, this buddy. I said, buddy's gonna smash like.
Yeah. And she slapped that nigga. I was like, he hit.
Yeah, she probably told him put a condom on before you come out there. He probably already had a condom on. And...
when she said that type of man was a nigga with big arms and tattoos, I was like, oh, this hoe. Oh, nigga. She probably ran through by niggas in the industry.
Hell nah. But go ahead, Jerry. What happened this week, bro?
Well, this week the adventures of Sleazo. It continued. He trying to make the love triangle work, and so the Jocelyn Mimi Stevie triangle keeps moving along. But what got me was we finally got some emotion out of Erica. Well, Scrappy got the emotion that he wanted out of Erica, so maybe he's going to get on his thing. And the Carly Benzino situation is starting to fall apart, folks. We knew it was going to happen. You don't fall in love with somebody in 2 weeks and give them a house to you, I mean, keys to your house. And so the Carly Benzino thing's falling apart. And that's about it. Rashida and Kurt, yeah, they're going back together. She's sticking with them. No, she's not going to Waka Flocka's mama, so she's going to stay independent and, I guess, live off the meager scraps that she gets from being the king of, with the queen of crunk or whatever she call herself. What she call herself?
Want to marry me.
Yeah, marry me.
Can we talk about the Benzino situation for a second?
What's wrong with that nigga neck?
He don't have a neck. I mean, he's a turtle. It's like his
and then it's like his arms look short and long at the same time. It's like weird. It's like, fuck, how your arms look short, but they look.
That nigga's fucked all the way up, man. That nigga got a body like Mr. Potato Head.
It's just so funny looking at him, man. I mean, Benzino, man, just like he became likable a little bit in this episode, man. I don't understand. Like, everybody hate Benzino. Why do we hate Benzino? I don't.
It's understandable.
Hey, everybody hates Benzino.
I don't hate Benzino.
But hey, because you know this with Love and Hip Hop, man, they be letting some shit go down and you don't see it, and they talk about it like too much time go past. Like, you know, who knew she was going to the studio and shit on a low with her ex boyfriend and shit, and then you know they having anger problems because the episode before they all lovey-dovey, so like, when does this shit pop up?
The thing I like about Benzino, and I think he's a weird motherfucker, like, the stuff that you hear before this show, I thought he was terrible. And from the time I saw him on the show, I was like, he's a regular ass dude, because that's really what he is. That nigga, he's real straightforward. And even though he put everything on the line and he said he's in love with this motherfucker after 3 days or whatever it is, he hasn't changed. His demeanor and the way he acts towards Carly Red has been consistent from day one. She's the motherfucker that changed. And she's the reason that shit's falling apart. This nigga got you a photo shoot, got your little video shit set up, he buying you rings, giving you keys, and now all of a sudden this nigga's clingy and possessive and jealous? What the fuck are you talking about?
She's a bird, man. That bitch just wanted his connections and what
exactly.
She could do for him.
She juiced that nigga and now she ready to go because she like, oh, I got a little buzz in the business now. Thank you, Benzino, I'm out. That nigga's not the problem.
Because you see, he was like, yo, let's talk about anything but the studio, because that's all she want to talk about. What you going to do for me? He's like, yo. And let's talk about us, baby. Like, how we gonna grow old together and all this shit, man. Like K. Michelle said, this bitch a senior citizen trying to do whatever she trying to do. Man.
Shout out to Wikipedia. This bitch, she's 52. I still don't believe that shit.
52.
I still don't see her lopsided ass. That's what I've been trying to see.
I don't see the lopsided ass either.
I've been looking for that because they show a lot of gratuitous ass shots this season. I noticed that.
Yes, they're giving the people what they want.
It's a lot of ass.
Yeah. Good.
It's a lot of ass on the show, yeah. Period.
I like the previous season better because this one seemed a little staged at times and forced. The other one, it seemed like them bitches really didn't like each other and we didn't know what we was finna get. You know, this one seemed like they trying to make a little storyline and shit like that.
I guess they was like, we don't want to get ratchet like them last hoes was. Oh, so we're going to try to be friends. But like from what I'm hearing, the reunion show was supposed to be that shit. So I really can't. I can't wait for that because I hear K. Michelle's putting them thing on Rashida, and yeah. I want to see that. I want to see that.
Rashida fine to me.
Man, she's like a little doll or something, boy.
Yeah, she definitely clean up.
Her job is like top 10 and shit, man.
She definitely cleans up. This is one of the episodes I was kind of like, why the fuck am I watching this? I didn't understand Benzino and Stevie J going to the strip club to try to talk about women. Like, that's definitely...
How did the niggas get friends?
Oh, yeah, they've been talking about being friends the whole fucking time. Like, that's they best friends, according to the show.
Yeah, like, how? Like, you know, I mean, when did they become friends? I mean, it might have been, like, years, but when did, like, I'm going to move down to Atlanta and become friends with Benzino?
Well, that's where we would need B-Eazy on the show because he's a political analyst, and I'm sure he knows all the backstory on that shit.
Sorry, people.
I met DJ once and shit, man. When I first moved to California, I met him. He was dating Eve back then.
This nigga know everything.
Stevie J, that nigga.
That's when I had a crush on Eve and shit, man. We was at a party over Cassandra. She was a manager for one of my boys, so, you know, he took us to the party, and they were there. This nigga, man, let me tell you what he had on.
He had on... Who are we talking about?
Stevie J. He had on these... Was it burgundy? Versace jeans. This is before skinny jeans was in. Versace, you know, that's slim shit for white men. So this nigga got on Versace burgundy jeans, construction Tims, and a wife beater.
Wow, Sleazo.
And sunglasses. Now you know this was this was 99. So you know this nigga had some fame because he, you know, bad boy. And he was doing shit with Jodeci because that's what he was rolling with Jodeci, like Mr. Dalvin and all them, because they were at the party too.
Yeah.
And you know they had an Eve. He was dating Eve and shit. You know, Pitbull in the skirt and shit.
He didn't want to put out the little video of Eve with the dildo.
I saw that shit, man. It was like 30 seconds long, though. Where was
I know, you? Right? Exactly.
Should have showed piping her down or some shit, man. What the fuck?
Gonna get the people.
You know, but yeah, I met that nigga then, man. You know.
Did he make the rat face?
See him now. You know, he wasn't as expressive with his faces then as he is now. I guess old age made him more expressive. I didn't have that much contact with him in the party. I was checking for Eve anyway, so I was like, "Oh, this her boyfriend, this weirdo looking motherfucker."
Yeah, that nigga definitely. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the hold he has on these motherfuckers, but his game is tight as shit because them motherfuckers are crazy. Hey,
and just an update: Carly Red's Wikipedia page says she was born in 1972. Now, so we moved up 12 years, so she's only 40 now. So took 12 years off her age. So hopefully, you know, that clears up some things. By last week's show when she was you know, said to be 52.
And I think that's like, us. She needs to call us and thank us. Because if it wasn't for us putting it on the show. Like Kenny
Alexander from CB4.
Say that again?
Oh, she like Candy Alexander from CB4.
God damn.
In old age. Trying to...
God damn. Y'all, if y'all don't catch that reference, man, go watch CB4. You will see what the fuck. Jesus, that, was... that motherfucker came from downtown with that one. God damn.
Tell me she don't. They do the close-ups and a little thing. But man, tell me, man. I mean, besides Jocelyn with her, you know, deaf sounding, talking ass, that bitch is fine, yo.
How does she talk like this? Like, is it because she's Puerto Rican? Like slang?
Nigga, I gotta put that shit on mute.
I can't understand what the fuck she be talking about, but I know when she was sitting there with the doctor, he was trying to get her information out, and she was sincerely crying. I was like, damn, for a split second, I felt sorry for her. I felt sorry for a split second.
I think she's likable, man. When you get her to just be her, and she ain't arguing and fussing, she come across as a cool, down-ass chick. Like, you know, she could be the homegirl and hang out and shit and probably be fun to talk to and kick it with, you know? She sounds like she have a cool little personality, but it seems like motherfuckers always trying to put her under pressure and make her act like a bitch, and she don't have a problem doing that for whatever reason.
I think it was the first show, the way she came out, like, yeah, I'm fucking this dude, and I don't give a fuck, fuck. You know, I think that's what made the people, like, rally against her. But as the show went on, we seen, like, oh, he's just stringing you along, too. And, oh, your feelings getting hurt. And, you know, it's like you see, like, a humble side of her almost. And, you know, she's likable now. Like, you know, it is what it is, man. Loving hip hop, man. It's a great show.
It's terrible. I'll be glad when this motherfucker's over. I swear to God.
But, yo! How far did Shay fall the fuck off from Flavor of Love, yo?
I mean, how far do you think she was fucking with Flav? Like, I mean, it's like her body ain't fell off, but her face and it's just...
Her hair. I mean,
I got to talk about hair again.
But that shit is even wacker.
Her hair look like little Kim shit in Ladies Night video, bro. That's what I'm just...
Damn it, ladies, I'm sorry. I didn't know we were going to end up at this point again in the show.
Man, I'm saying, Bucky used to be the shit, nigga. I used to, her and Boots. And shit, I bet you Boots is like 250 right now. I bet you.
She had three kids. And
them titties and pop them titties. Woo! Lord, Boots.
God.
I'm telling
you. So who is your favorite on the show? Like other females, who's your favorite female on the show block?
K. Michelle.
Yeah.
That ghetto ass.
She.
This bitch is shaking the table.
She is real regular though. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the other thing that came across too, is that her whole story with getting her ass with my Memphis hits. That ain't a game. Like I don't know her. I don't know him. I don't know any of the circumstances for real, outside of what she said. But she mean that shit. And when
he damn near
killed her ass, because when Rashida said, well, maybe he didn't do that to you, she lost it. She was like, what? You weren't there?
She was like, I'm about to leave. Yeah, she's like, I'm about to leave, because...
she was done, so that shit is fucked up. And I don't know why Toya is coming for her. That's the part
of Toya trying to make it.
That's a man, no matter, you know, how women try to act like they got solidarity, but when you fuck with they shit... They ain't got no solidarity. She don't like that bitch. She like, this is my man. He ain't never did that shit for me. But she probably in the back of her mind thinking, damn, you know.
But like,
I hope he don't ever do
but
that.
But it's not like K. Michelle doesn't go out and name him by name. You know what I'm saying? She's
that's probably lawsuit reasons and shit, because, you know, it didn't take long to figure out who she was talking about. Like the next day, niggas knew, oh, Memphis.
Yeah, and people ask her the question, so she talks about it. And that's where I don't understand why Toya is going at her for it, because people are asking her the shit. Like, what is she supposed to do? Not answer?
You know, that bitch talking about my man, you know, she gonna stand up, hey, baby, why don't you say something to protect me or some shit, and she go out there and that's all women do, man. They lash out at each other.
And somebody said this shit on Twitter, made me think about it. They said, Memphis Hits will never hit Toya because that's Lil Wayne's baby mama. And there might be truth to that shit.
Well, I mean, I heard a little story about that. Lil Wayne personally sat down with Memphis and told him what happened with K. Michelle will not happen with Toya, or he will not be getting off as easy as he did last time. And so, you know, I heard it was just like a little set down. Because I remember on one of the Toya show where Ray Janae was like, she was talking like, yo, have you talked to my daddy about you marrying him? You know what I'm saying? So maybe, you know, like, Wayne probably played this, you know, baby. I'm sure, you know, this is not true, but I'm sure baby didn't kill him a couple of niggas. And, you know, Wayne probably done shot a nigga just for fun and killed a nigga like some homeless person. He probably just like, yo, I need to kill a nigga. And like, boom.
What,
you know, New Orleans some grimy.
What does it feel like to? Okay, Wayne is like 5'6" or some little shit.
Exactly. Memphis
is like 6'1" or 6'2". How does it feel to sit down with a nigga looking face to face down on this little high motherfucker that talks like a troll, telling you that he's gonna end you if you do some shit out of pocket? Like, at what point? Because you know it can happen. But like, how do you check your pride on that shit? Because you definitely got to want to kick your.
How you check your pride?
You definitely want to kick his head off.
It's like he also got an offensive line with him that's strapped.
You think it wasn't one on one? You think it was him and his entourage?
What? Come on, let's be honest. If Lil Wayne ran up on me talking some shit by himself, I'd be like, all right, yeah, whatever. But if Lil Wayne and like them three big burly niggas that just you know. Just don't give a fuck with big ass rusty ass hands and nigga. And yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah, she's not gonna get hit, bro. I promise you, I love her. You know what I'm saying?
That's gotta be some powerless feeling shit. Like, damn, man, this little motherfucker. I know I can take him, but it's these extra niggas. God damn.
Yep.
Ain't got no posse. I like Mimi ass too, with her gash head.
She got no ass, man. I'm sorry.
She ain't got no ass, and that motherfucker's retarded. I need you to have some kind of sense about your shit. I mean, at least
her mama's
knocked the shit out of that motherfucker.
You know, hey man, I ain't gonna have you call my baby mama Joseph
2 more times
now.
I don't give a shit, Joseph. She might take.
And Wayne. Hey, baby, I got some posse. I'm going to send them out your way.
That's all right.
I got some grips, nigga.
That's all right. That motherfucker Joseph, at least she stole his ass when he was disrespecting her to her face. Mimi just stopped crying.
She got some. So let me ask you a question, Sarai. If you had to choose between Serena Williams and Jocelyn, who you pick?
Nigga, I would pick any damn female Williams over Jocelyn.
Or a scene?
For anything. I'm not at all. I don't like the way she talked. I don't like her attitude. I don't like the way she looked. There's nothing about her I like.
You stick her panties in her mouth if you fucking them. Stick them panties in her mouth, she can't talk.
Where's she gonna put her dick?
Nigga, she ain't got no dick. You ain't see that on World Star video?
She's got a good surgeon. I'm sure her dick is at home on the counter.
Nigga, ain't no surgery that damn good. That was
the same. Hey, better ask Mr. C about that shit. There's some surgeons out there.
Mr. C.
That's
a
motherfucking thing. Niggas get that nigga a pass, yo.
Yeah, get that shit out.
He got hit with Tranny, and he got a pass. Like, niggas like, that's all right. That's Mr. C. Nigga.
This man bought you Biggie, bro. That's what he said. I bought you Biggie. Y'all would give me this pass.
You know what I'm saying? I brought y'all Kane and Biggie. No, fuck that. But I guess, you know what? That just goes to show it's been some weird shit going on in hip-hop in a long time. And to the outsiders, this shit is new. But the insiders, they're like, huh? It ain't new. They just got caught and exposed one layer of the fairy tale. Even this ghostwriter shit is, hey, nigga, it just exposed one layer of the fairy tale. Even with producers. When I found out that all producers don't make their own beats, it was like, shit, why am I working this hard? Niggas. My man, because he broke the game down to me. He said, Jermaine Dupri ain't got time to make 25 beats a day. He gets some young boys that's hungry and shit. They make them. He might go and say, change that, add this, whatever the case is. Put his name on it so it sells. He get maybe 100,000, get a young boy, 15, 25, or whatever. You know, keep it going. And then eventually, you know, he let the young boy break off and make his name. Like Timbaland and Danger, you know. Timbaland said, hey, come do this for me. And then, you know, he'd get a couple uncredited joints and get his weight up and skills up and, okay, go out and make your name now.
But then that brings the question as to which is really more important as it relates to hip-hop. Is it authenticity or quality? Which do really, really give a fuck about? For real, for real.
Equally both, but now that you know, with the facade being exposed, man, it's like...
But it can't be both. It's like Rick Ross, we know as a fan, Rick Ross is fake as shit. But Rick Ross' album, yeah, he's celebrated as the dude.
Yeah, but that's if you want to believe. I don't believe that nigga. I don't believe no niggas talking about selling drugs on albums is actually selling drugs and shit. Because, you know.
Yeah, that's not nothing you just publicize.
It's true.
Yeah. You know, a nigga talk about gang banging. Maybe I'm like, he might have got his whoop-de-whoop nigga what on a couple times or something. He just reliving his past on record and shit. But... You know, you think as far as being creative, that niggas would create their own shit. But like I said, it's so much pressure. And then it's a machine now. Because once you become famous, you become a machine. You become a provider of a way of life for many different people. Because now people are counting on you to make hits all the time so you can keep them employed. Now you got to come up with shit to keep your people employed, the record company happy, to keep you. So, yeah, you know, you might... still a song from an up-and-coming person and turn to a hit. Like, when you see these lawsuits from some people saying this, he stole my song and made it a hit, I believe them shits, man, because it happens.
Right, sure that.
You know? Unless, you know, and it's, as a fan, you know, like I said, you want to believe that the person does their own shit and all this, but being real, you know, it's all entertainment, like you said. As long as you're entertained, ain't that what matters? It's a hard thing to reconcile with.
Yeah, apparently. That's what I'm saying. Apparently, that's, you know, what it boils down to. And we give a lot of this other shit airplay, but at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. Is this shit entertaining? That's the only way I can explain Waka Flocka Flame being the shit right now. That's the only way I can get it.
Whoa.
Is the niggas whoa, entertainment. What? You going to say he's good?
Yes, yes. He's entertaining. Okay, yeah. I mean, I will go to... I would pay to, if he like, if I heard Waka was at the club, I go, yeah, I'm going. Because I know I'm having a good time.
Right, and I can't argue with that shit. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's get to the questions from the nation part. You know, we'll get to the strange news next week. But, you know, we're getting the shows getting kind of long, so we're going to scoot past that for this one. Questions from the nation coming from Short T. Short T. I always say his name wrong the first
short
time.
Short T. Not short.
Yeah, I always say it wrong the first time. But he sent us two questions. Jeremy, should we do both questions or just do the first one or the second?
Let's do the one, you know, the one, the college question. Right. That's the one.
So the question that he asked us, and Block, feel free to weigh in on this. He says, going to school in Louisiana has helped me open my eyes to how the government treats college students. Budget cuts have kept students like myself from graduating on time and made it common practice for students to find classes vital to your degree at nearby schools with acceptable credits because they aren't being taught on their original campuses. Do you believe that college is a scam when people go to school for 5 years and can't even get a career in the field or of their degree and have a paycheck to pay back the student loans? I want to jump on this shit first because that hits home. I got my degree in 2004, graphic design. I did not get my first job in the graphic design field until 2008. The entire time I was in college, I was working and going to school, working at call centers, working in shoe stores, working in cell phone places, all this shit.
Just working. Yeah, just
you
working.
Know, I wasn't one of them motherfuckers that was able to intern. At one point, when I was in school in Atlanta, I went to school full time and had three jobs. I would leave the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. I didn't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning. I did that for 3 months. So I was hustling like a motherfucker. But none of that shit was in graphic design other than school. So I got my job in graphic design using my degree. I was laid off after 6 months. The 6 months I was there, I was the first person to show up and usually the last person, the last five people to leave the office. I had nothing come back to my desk to be corrected. And as a matter of fact, I ended up correcting most of the people in my department's work. That was regular shit for me. I love my job. Got laid off. Since then, I had... one other job that I got because I knew somebody after I got laid off. Other than that, I haven't had a 9-to-5. It's been freelancing here, writing this here, doing our projects here. That's how I've been getting by. So for me, do I believe college is a scam? I believe it is exactly what it says it is. It's just a place for you to put your fucking money. Now, there's definitely degrees that matter. You know, if you're going to be a dentist, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be something like that, you got to go to school and learn the shit. But I think that school promising, the days that school promised you getting a job, that shit is long gone, nigga. And if you can find a skill or find something that you love first, do that. I'm not an advocate for going to school forever and going into debt, because it's not going to get you shit but debt.
Nah, I'm like $30,000 in debt, student loans and shit right now.
Are you using your? Are you using your degree now?
Nope, I don't think I've ever used my degree. You know, I got it in marketing, and yeah, I don't think I've ever had a marketing job. Matter of fact, I know I haven't had one. I mean, when I went to school, I'm gonna tell you, I wasn't focused. Like, my thing when I came out of high school, I just said that I want to go to college because that's what everybody did. They left home and went to college and shit. I didn't really have no idea about a career or things like that. And then I got to college, it was just like all about experience, like, you know, meeting people, dating, partying, being off on your own from out your parents, watching everything, and exploring, living life. And I went to class and got my grades and everything, but I wasn't directed as far as like, oh, I want to be this when I grow, you know, graduate, and I plan to work for this. And it was just day by day, go to class, you know, take notes, do the homework, pass the test. You know, I didn't really give it no thought. And, you know, after I got out of school, you know, I was like, okay.
I give you that. The experience is definitely a good plus. Go ahead.
Yeah, by that time, I think I got into the idea I wanted to do music. So I wasn't really thinking about the degree. I was like, I'm going to make these beats and see where it takes me, you know. And I moved to New York. And, you know, I started selling socks on the street corner.
That's marketing.
It is marketing.
Selling for myself, man. Like, we go down to the garment district. We buy a pack of, I buy like 9 packs of socks for like $11. Then we buy these fake Calvin Klein stickers, and we unpack the socks, take the real stickers off, and put the fake Calvin Klein stickers, then seal it back up. Then we get on the train and go out to the Village or West Side of New York and just walk 3 for $5, get your Calvin Klein cotton socks, 90% cotton, 1% nylon, fill them, take the quality, 3 pairs, $5, 6 for $10, 12 for $20, get your socks. And I would just stand by a train station, catch them going to work, coming home, because it's socks. It's saving you a trip to going to Macy's, and it's 3 pairs for $5. Everybody needs socks and shit. So I did that for like 3 years.
God damn.
And, you know, it taught me responsibility and, you know, how to manage your money, because you don't work, you don't eat. So I stopped doing it 6-7 days a week. I ain't had no days off, you know, from like 8 to 6, 8 to 5, whatever. Come home, and then I'd go out and play. You know, I had cash money. I'd go to the club, and I'd pop bottles and drink. Well, not pop bottles, but, you know, I'd buy drinks and shit because I had cash money. And I knew I was going to get cash money the next day because I'm going to work for myself, you know. So, you know, that was my education in the streets of New York right there. About a lot.
So what would you, like, you got Little Block there. You got Little Building Block there. Let's say you get to the point to where it's time for him to go to college, and you got $20,000-$30,000 saved up for him. If, you know, let's say that happens, are you going to give him that to go to school, or are you going to say invest that in something else and do something other? What would your be?
Hopefully, I would have taught him, you know, to think about his future. So by the time it came for him to make that decision, he'd have an idea what he wanted to do or start in life. And I'd probably tell him to go to a trade school or something versus going to college, you know, so he can have a skill. So, like, say you went to air conditioning or something like that, or electrician or carpenter, you know, he can build something, you know. So, like, after he got out, if he wanted to, you know, we ain't got enough people out here building, knowing how to build shit, you know. Say blacks took over and we had a revolution and we took over. Who we got to know how to build shit?
Yeah.
You know?
So, right.
Give him a piece of land, what we gonna do with it? You know, we just gonna buy Hennessy and smoke weed all day on that motherfucker? We'll die out in no
time. We'd die happy little motherfucker, though.
I would try to teach him to, you know, get a skill or a profession or a trade or something like that. Because, you know, my old man didn't have no money for me, man. I had to go to the military to go to college and shit. I went to the Navy for a year and got a scholarship and went to Morehouse. And then, you know, I didn't want to stay in, so I was able to get out the military. And I finished school. And that's how I got them student loans and shit. And but if I had known that, I would have just said, fuck it, and went on and did something else. And just have been happy those whatever years I was in school. And instead of trying to rack up all that debt. Mm. Like $30,000-$40,000 now, nigga, I'm buying me a Porsche.
What about you, Jerm? You went to college too, right?
Yeah. But you know, I was on the, I started out at DeVry. And you know, then, because one day I was just like, I was a similar situation. Oh, you know, you're not going to college? Because my whole senior year, I fucked around. I didn't fill out one application. Matter of fact, I take that back. My guidance counselor called me in and said, what college do you want to go to? I told her, I said, either the University of Florida or the University of Hawaii. And she looked at me like, what? Like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, them schools I want to look at. So she pulled up the little info, showed me how much it was. And then when I saw how much it was, I said, oh, I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, man, fuck that. These out-of-state fees, ridiculous. I'm looking at my grandma and granddad like, how the fuck y'all going to afford, you know, to send me to college? So, you know, like I said, I didn't, no scholarships. No, I didn't take it seriously. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just like, I bullshitted my way through school. And so when it came, you know, so one day I was sitting at home, you know, I was working at McDonald's, like, my, you know, as soon as I graduated from high school, you know, I was just like, well, I can't work at McDonald's no more because I'm out of high school. You know, so I went and got me a job at the little local factory, you know, making jeans and shit. And then, you know, then one day I was working there and it was like November, you know, after high school, after graduation, I was just like, fuck, man. You know, I was sitting at home watching BET. Fucking DeVry commercial come on. No bullshit. No bullshit. Yeah. No, DeVry commercial come on. Call the motherfuckers up. Recruiter come to my house. You know, I go take the little placement test. Next thing I know, March come around. And shipping me off to Atlanta. You know, I go live in Atlanta. When I got there, I lived in Atlanta. I didn't go to fucking DeVry. I lived in Atlanta. I mean, I was doing, it was like I had an apartment in Atlanta that was paid for. And I did what the fuck I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember for a whole month I was down at Georgia Southern. Like, I mean, I showed up on the first day, showed up on, like, to take the final. Like, you ain't been here a whole trimester. And, I mean, you know, you fucking going to take the final? Like, I was stupid. So, anyway.
What year was this?
97.
Shit, I was there the same year, nigga.
Yes.
I was in New York by that time.
Yes, and I was just running wild. I mean, doing dumb shit. And, you know, I was living too fast, so I said, I need to go back home. I went back home, and then it was just like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go back. And then it just, you know, never did. And then this is like, I don't know. But as far as me thinking, yes, I'm telling my kids to go to college. Fuck it. Why? Because this is just what I think a parent should do. I mean, I want them, and you know, but I just think college is overpriced. That's my thing. I don't understand, like, why education costs so fucking much. Like, you go to Harvard and these Yales, and you're spending $40,000-$50,000 a year. You know what I'm saying? It might be more than that. I don't know. But it's ridiculous. You know, so that's, you know, college shouldn't be that expensive. They should make it more affordable with all these fucking lotteries that we have going from state to state. I don't know why college ain't damn near free. You know what I'm saying? Because it can get paid for. So, you know, my I'm not going to say it's a scam. I think the price of it is a scam. But, you know, the experience of college is something that everybody should, you know, go through. I mean, even if you don't graduate, at least goddamn go experience that shit. Get some debt. Fuck it. Have a good time. Overdose on drugs. Wow. Have unprotected sex. You know what I'm saying? Just do it. Get diseases. Have abortions. All wow. That shit. Go to college, nigga.
Yeah. So we started out real positive, and we ended up telling kids to take drugs, have abortions.
I mean, go to college. I mean, experience all that. That's college. I mean, that's it. That's the life.
You go, like, I would want him to be, like, I'm going to stress, you know, get an education. I'd want him to get a scholarship and go to Harvard, Yale, you know, somewhere where he can meet people that's moving and shaking and doing shit. Stanford, exactly. You know, but don't be, like, middle of the road and go to school, because then it might not benefit you, but if you're in the top 1% or something, oh yeah, they'll make a way for you.
Yeah, and so short T, to sum it up, man,
we're all on the fence, and we're saying that there is definitely a benefit to college. I think all of us are saying that there are benefits to going to college, but all of us don't. None of us think that you should just go just to be doing some shit. I think even Germ saying that you should go and get the experience, you're still going to get the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
So, be focused on what the fuck you're doing, because that shit gets expensive, bro.
Exactly, because you think about it, okay, let's say freshman year, you're undecided. Sophomore year, that's when you're supposed to decide your major after your sophomore year. Yeah. You know, and then that way your last 2 years, you focus on your major. And that's when you end up with a general studies motherfucking degree, because you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
And the good piece of advice that I can give you from personal experience, and I might even tell the story now, is when you get your student loan check, I don't even know how they do it anymore, but when you get your student loan check, and the student, your tuition is $4,000, but you get $6,000. Give them that other $2,000 back, or invest that shit in some shit that's gonna actually make you some money. Don't go spend it.
And investing is not meaning going to buy, trying to flip a pound or something. You in school? College kids, do not. And I know it's almost refund check time, so please don't take your money and think you're going to get a pound and become, you know, because why are you going to school to be a student? You're not going to school to sell drugs. So, no, that's not a good investment.
Man, he got killed selling weed in school. He used to sit next to me in economics class, man. And them Georgia boys killed him, shot him in the back of the head execution style in his apartment.
God damn.
Nice dude, man. I didn't know he was in the shit like that.
And he probably wasn't, which is why he got shot. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
you get that kind of money, and you get ideas, and your ideas become bigger than reality, and you get in over your head. That's how you get shot in the back of your head, execution style. That nigga was on some high-end shit.
I fucked around and used mine and bought a Honda Accord. Used Honda Accord.
Now, how long did that Accord last you?
Let me see. I got it in, like, 93, and it broke down on me twice. And I think I got rid of it in 96.
And you paid how much?
$3,000,
which has rolled over now into the part of the sum of his $30,000. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's still paying for that motherfucking Honda Accord. If there's any advice to give you, bro, it's just, you know, get the money you need for school, and unless you have some solid investment shit after that for that little remainder money, get that shit right fucking back, for real. I know I you know, I'm gonna cut this story short so we can finish up the show, but when I got my refund check for Art Institute of Atlanta, it was when I was in ATL, I think my tuition for that semester was like, I want to say, these numbers may be off, I want to say the tuition was like $4,000. I got the full year worth of my refund check, so it was like $10,000, something like that, or it might have been 6 and 10. Either way, I ended up with $4,000 cash, straight cash, homie. Do you know that I blew the shit out of that $4,000? Nigga, and that was when the Falcons was hot. The Falcons went to the Super Bowl that year. So I bought shirts for my boys, and it was four of us. So it was four shirts. When I went and bought a dirty bird towel, it was four towels. When we had to pony up to go to the club, I paid for four niggas to get in. When we was buying bottles, I bought bottles for four niggas. I was partying it up. Guess who still got to pay back that extra four G's? This nigga right here. This nigga right here.
Let me tell you about my ignorant ass. Damn, I just forgot what I was going to say. Shit. It'll come to me again.
So let's get to the real nigga quote section of the show with our nigga King Germ, episode 42 of the Frocast. It's been a blast. We're going to get to the real nigga's quote. And this one's from Anonymous. So King Germ, let's go ahead and take it, bro.
No cup, no canes, no gates. Just gay. No cuffs, no canes, no gates, just gay.
Misconception, though? Folk really think I'm stupid, hell. I like that, too.
I'm gonna keep it real. Usually, I keep it, you know, when you see me in the white tee, it's because, you know, that's just that hood in me. You know what I'm saying? I could have put on the nicest shirt, but fuck it.
Okay, well, the first thing, I don't care about no recognition and all that. I want some money. You know what I'm saying? Keep your recognition. I ain't like all these dudes who are up here tap dancing and bootlegging and square bopping. I'm about the money.
Anonymous, whoever you are. All right, it says, I've been dating a girl for a month. Our relationship has been good. She's fun, and we're fucking.
Damn.
I pay for most of our
God damn.
I pay for most of our dates, even though she makes more than me. I make $50,000 a year, so I ain't broke. But damn, she like nice restaurants, no McDonald's. She told me she always pay for shit in her past relationships. She doesn't pay for shit on our dates. She may have paid for one night out. My question, is this girl playing me, I'm assuming he's saying, or am I playing myself by allowing this? P.S. The pussy is good. Well, I'm going to tell you like this, Anonymous. I mean, you're paying for the pussy. So how do you feel about it? Is the pussy worth the money? Even though, like you said, you're not broke by a long shot, so don't bring money up. If money's not an issue, why are you worried about tricking? You're paying for this pussy, so you're getting exactly what you're paying for. Now, you only been with a month. You're beaten, so, of course, she's not wifeable. So, continue going on with this relationship as it is. I mean, if she's not spending no money on you, you know, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, bro. I mean, you getting the pussy without... I mean, I don't know. If it's getting too high, if it's getting too much for you, then I would say, you know, mention it. But you're going to run risk of losing this pussy if you do that. You know, because right now, you know, she like you paying for everything. Like, you just... When you come around, you sugar daddy, you spend the money. Stop spending money and see if you still get that pussy. If you stop spending money and still getting the pussy, then I say you might have some on your hands. But, you know... Right now, it looks like you're the trick and she's the hoe. So, you know, keep it going like it is. So, you know, I don't know what else to tell you, Anonymous. I mean, you basically solved. Yeah, I mean, would you like to add on something, Block? I mean, hey. Yeah.
You know, I've never had a problem getting women to pay for me a meal. I look skinny and they think this nigga needs to be fed before he pass out on our date. But, you know, I be hearing people talking about women don't pay on their dates and a woman will never pay. I can guarantee you that, you know, I might pay for the first date, but the next ones, they pulling out their wallet, and I ain't really got to do much for them to do it. I might tell them I ain't got no money today, you know, but you want to go out to eat, and they're like, yeah, I got you. And then from that point on, they be paying.
Exactly. I mean, I can't empathize with this guy because, I mean, you know, not saying that, you know, I milk women or whatever, but it's just like, I don't understand what's the problem. If y'all in it together, whatever, you know what I mean? She should understand, like, yo, it's time for her to pay. If she make more money than you, like, bitch, it's time for you to pay. Like, I mean,
think people don't understand reciprocity, you know? Like, exactly. I might pay one time, you get it the next time. Or even if you don't pay, you might pay it in another way. Like, you might do me a big favor that, you know, I really need, that you can't really put a price on. You know, if motherfuckers like each other, you're going to do something for a person, and it don't matter, tit for tat. That's for motherfuckers that don't like each other, tit for tat. You know?
I agree with that shit totally.
It's all right. How do you feel about this? I mean, you know. Pussy's good, though.
Yeah, pussy's pussy. I swear.
I guarantee you can probably find some pussy that's better, though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, probably less. It won't cost as much. I mean, you saying she like expensive meals. Like, she ain't even like... down to go grab a five piece from Wendy's or some shit sometime. No, she got to eat from the, you know, Cheesecake Factory and Benny High Hines and all that shit. So, I mean, you got a problem on your hands.
Them shits is, you know, I mean, is she jacking his dick off underneath the table or something?
Something. I mean, because she's saying she's used to, you know, paying for all, but she's not paying them. So something wrong with you, bro. I mean, because if she used to paying with all the other guys and she's not doing it for you, you got to figure out what you're doing wrong, Anonymous. So, you know.
Yeah. Shit, tell her you going to the bathroom and duck out on her ass.
Yeah. This is what you do. Next time you go out, forget your wallet. Forget your wallet. See what happens. Just be like, oh, I left my wallet. Have your wallet. Just refuse to pay and see what she do. If she pay for it and then give you attitude, yo, drop that chick straight up. As a matter of fact, tell her, yo, drop me off at the house, bitch. That's what you tell her. Or if you drove, tell her that she walking. Tell her, go ahead, catch a cab, too. I mean, because that ain't, that's she doing you dirty, bro.
Pimping. Have you noticed I've been reading, like, arrest records and shit and of pimps and shit, and these hoes is getting younger that they use in like 14 and 13.
What the fuck?
That's the trend, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand it myself. Like, what happened to getting a hoe around the age you are?
Illegal would be a good idea, but shit.
Yeah, because that's a whole nother, you know,
can of worms you get arrested. No Sandusky.
Maybe they just giving what their customers want. Customers like, hey, dog, you ain't got no 17-year-old, 15-year-olds on your thing. I need some 15-year-olds. And you know, this filling their shelves.
I refuse to have that conversation on this motherfucker show.
I'm not saying man, this is what I'm
doing. Take it to the abyss.
I'm just saying they are in a customer oriented business.
Let's go ahead and wrap this motherfucker show up because these niggas on some shit.
So hold up, so, you own a video store. And you have this creepy guy that comes in, is like, hey, and he wants some kind of shit that you like, man, we don't carry that on our shelf. But he's willing to pay money, big money for it. Aren't you gonna start carrying those movies for him? Just for him.
No.
Like you
nigga, look, every time I go to this gas station, this particular gas station around the corner from my house, some white person asks me where they can buy some weed. Every fucking time I go, I don't start carrying weed when I go to that gas station so they could sell it. I just stop going to that fucking gas station.
I get some oregano. I'm putting a little baggie in there. Let me
put a parameter around that for you, Block. I live in Texas, the state where they execute most motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah, shit, I'd be
him straight there. So there's no chance of him. Straight there. I'm not fucking with the law at all. That nigga, no. No, I'm not. Shit.
Hey, I know y'all didn't touch on this. This wasn't on the agenda, but anybody watch Hollywood Exes?
No, I haven't watched that yet, man.
You ain't watched? They got.
I seen one episode when Eddie Murphy's wife was doing the dance class. Yeah. I mean, not Eddie Murphy, but R. Kelly ex-wife.
Oh, that bitch is bad.
Yeah, I mean, her face is beat. But that, good God.
I bet she can fuck, though.
Yes, sir. My goodness. Mm.
But, hey, have you seen they got a R&B divas coming out?
Yeah, I did hear about that one.
Yeah. It's like Faith, Monifa, Kiki Wyatt,
Kiki
Gilbert, and some other chick. But I just keep thinking, okay, the Hollywood Exes is like marketed towards the slim women, and the R&B divas is marketed to the cute and chubbly women. Like that's what I think the audience is gonna be. It's just something I figured out.
It's probably something that we'll cover because I don't know. I feel like
my Puerto Rican home used to smash Monifa back in the day before she was like totally diked out. This one was in New York.
I used to have.
I think he hit it like once before. And shit.
Yeah, Monifa. Yeah, man. That gap, man. Used to drive me crazy. It's, man.
I saw Latifah in the lesbian club once, though.
Latifah, yeah, I'm not shocked about that one either. Like I'd be more shocked if you said you saw either of them with dudes, but the nightclub, yeah, like, yeah, that, I thought they were gold members there. I thought they were platinum. Let's wrap it up. We got. The episode 42, the hit of hell now for this show, is Vasco da Gama. I believe I'm saying it right. Vasco da Gama and his... Stop it, Germ. And his nigga Zoom. The name of the song is Steal Your Heart. Let's get into it. It is hit of hell now for episode 42 of the Frocast. NappyAfro.com. And now it's time for your Frocast. NappyAfro.com newest game show. Hit or hell no. All you have to do is listen to the track and at the end of the Frocast, post your comment, let us know your vote. Let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, this week's candidate.
Great as I ever been. Y'all a bunch of squares. Well, I guess I'm playing check this den. I've been grinding harder than that house they bringing cattle in. Man, I've been a soldier, so hey, welcome to the battle, bitch. Pull it out the bag like it's a magic trick. Break shouted off just like a carry stick. We the class of 88, yeah, nigga, we the flyest fish. Diverse as hell. Bitch, my range wider than a rhino here. Ice crazy white like an albino kid. Click clack, click clack. I come to get something, something gotta give. she call me baby, I say where the crib. And if you like that nigga, get him, just make sure he pay the bill. Mac on some burning shit, I'm burning, tricking. When I'm on that lane, well, you can say I'm in my turtle shift. Man, I do more than just earn a strip. I get on mics and let it rip. The DJ just won't let it skip. Speedy and Zone. Yeah, I'm back. I just had to let you niggas know, man. Yeah. Hey. My flows are endless. They'll take you far as you think you go. All you niggas green. I go Super Saiyan. You go Piccolo. Fake friend playing roles worse than actors on that 70s show. It's just one in the chamber. Cock it back. Now should I let it go? Speedy told me to kill it, so I'm gonna murder this shit. Yeah. Get stuck in your brain like you rehearsed it quick. Squeeze the life out of the trigger, gotta look in purplish. I don't live it like I work at food services. But I don't, but I will if I'm receiving paid for it. All this stuff you seen with me, I might not have to slave for it. But all this stuff you seen with me, hell, I go to the grave for it. So one of you niggas try to take my shit, you gon' end up getting slaved for it. I'm going in like the street lights on, yeah. Outspoken like a megaphone. Superhead, give me megadome, yeah. But let me leave it alone, I'm going back home. I throw my own, I show myself. Full gun, like a candle with no fire, a nurse with trombone. Got your girl dripping like the bottom of an ice cream cone. I be in the trap like the villains off of Home Alone. I'm about to take a trip to the moon, so you already know I'm gone.
That's this week's contestant, everybody. Make sure you leave your comment and your vote. Let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, back to the crew.
Alright, so, this is the bio information we got on the email that came in from Vasco da Gama. He says, hey, I'm an upcoming artist named Vasco, trying to get my status up in the industry. I'm based in Birmingham, Alabama. Hopefully, you would like my music enough to post on Nappy Afro. Well, sir, Vasco, you've made it. You are on episode 42 of the Frocast with your song, Steal Your Heart, and I'd like to know what you guys thought about the song.
Totally didn't think he was from Alabama when I first heard the song. This is not what I was expecting from somebody from Birmingham, Alabama. It just, the start of the song kind of threw me, and then, you know, the beat picked up a little bit, but nah.
So you're giving it a hell nah?
Yeah, man, because I was expecting a little something dirtier, man. You know, from the South. You say, all right, Alabama, I'm thinking you from the, don't they call Alabama the Gump? I'm thinking, you know, I want something from there. You know, that screams Alabama. But that didn't scream Alabama to me, man.
What about you, Block? You in the music industry. What did you think of the song, bro?
I didn't listen to it yet.
I love it.
Hell.
But can I play it now?
No, we're about to wrap this shit up.
Yeah,
okay.
If you didn't listen, though, man. Hey,
just based upon his name, man, I'm gonna go with hell no.
Damn, that man is psychic. I'm telling you.
Vasco da Gama and Zoom, like what the fuck? Niggas trying to be different. Zoom, Z E W M, nigga Z O O M.
Zoom. The name was already taken, and I really like the name Zoom. How else can I spell it?
I'm going to become a rapper called MF Doom, and I'm going to spell it D-W-M, D-E-W-M.
M-F-M-E-F-F,
right. Doom. Yeah, like MF Doom, like nigga, sue me, nigga. I'm going to get Cisco to sing my hook.
You owe me, nigga. I mean, like,
yeah, I don't like the song at all. I thought... Just like you, Jern, when it first came on, I said, "What the fuck is this?" And then,
yeah, because I was like, "What's all right?" Got me listening to, man. Because I was like, "Whoa!" I turned it off like 5 times. Because I was like, "Man, this whole..." So I said, "Come on, man, it's all right. Just want me to bury a nigga." But then I heard him. I was like, "Oh, so he does kind of switch it up a little."
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, he started rapping, but then when he actually got to the lyrics, I was like, "I can't do it. I can't do it." When that nigga starts saying fresh like a carrot, or whatever the fuck else he said, fresh like a carrot, class of 88, we the flyest fish. I just, nah, it's a hell no for the kid. Man, there's no way.
I mean, it wouldn't have been as bad if it wouldn't had that little, whatever that folk song, whatever that person singing at the beginning. That really, like, it ruined the moment. Like, it ruined the air. Because once you get past that, I mean, it sounded like your typical Southern. You know, he came, it was all right, but it was just like, you ruined it with that other. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it at the beginning. It was like, you dug your hole so deep at the beginning, there's no way you could have crawled out.
You should have got Feral Monster rap.
God damn it. God damn it. And that's how we going to end the goddamn show. Building Block, you got any shout-outs for us, bro?
Shout-out to that site, and shout-out to y'all for having me on there, man. I very much appreciate it. And, shout-out to the world, man. I love y'all all.
That's what's up, King Jeremy. You got any shout-outs for this week?
You know my usual shout-outs to all my Twitter friends. Y'all know who you are. I'm not going to at nobody personally this week because I got in trouble because I didn't at a certain person.
You want to name that motherfucker? Jeremy, you want to name him?
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the mute button. I said, no, I don't want to name them because they know who they are. I hit that. That's crazy. I hit the mute button when I was talking. Oh, I also want to thank, Block for sitting in. I mean, glad, listen to some shows and wanting to get down. Had a blast. Everybody else over on that site, And that's about it, man. I mean, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm
shout
good.
Out.
I'm Gucci is the young
kid. You Gucci. Shout out to the followers. And I just found out that I guess because the Frocast is doing better, I'm getting a lot of new followers or people that read my tweets. I hate that follow shit. But a lot of these motherfuckers are following you just to see if you follow back. And if you don't follow back within like 24 hours, they stop following you. So shout out to the fakers. Appreciate you following me for a day. That's what's up. Shout out to my homegirl, Lisa McBow. Misunderstood on Twitter. That's my homegirl right there. Shout out to all you motherfuckers in Louisiana. For some reason, I'm following most of you. And, this is what we do every week. It's a Frocast, Nappy Afro. Episode 42 is in the bag. Next week, we should have Cornell the Great returning on the show. And we'll probably talk about some more ratchet shit. So, that's it for this week, man. Yes, this is a Frocast.
The James Worthy episode.
No, it's Jack. We're not. There's no way you're doing James Worthy over Jackie Robinson. It's not going to happen.
Man, listen, man. James Worthy is more iconic than Jackie Robinson.
Oh, my God. That's the end of the goddamn show. We have a next week, y'all. Peace.
Exactly when I'm speaking to God, it feels like halftime. I'ma reach for the stars. I'm still standing. Still standing. NappyAfro.com